look, everything in Washington has been a lie. Weapons of mass destruction.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Release the Kraken!
3, 2, 1. Thunderbirds are go.
I'm CIA.
Five. Bunch of bitchy little girls.
You take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you.
China is going to eat our lunch? Come on, man. I mean, they're not bad folks, but guess what? They're not competition for us. We have a higher deficit with China now than we did before. We have the highest trade deficit
China
with Mexico.
China ate your lunch, down 18%. China ate your lunch, Joe.
Last night, I was on the phone for 2 straight hours with Xi Jinping. We don't get moving, they're going to eat our lunch.
The COVID-19 crisis has shown us that our old systems are not fit anymore for the 21st century. It has laid bare the fundamental lack of social cohesion, fairness, inclusion, and equality. In short, we need a great reset.
If they asked us all 20 years ago to start reducing the population, and by starting with ourselves, well, no one would step forward and volunteer. So they do it. And that was the whole point of creating the Royal Institute for International Affairs, a parallel government, because they said that democracy and the bickering with politicians and, as I say, the irreconcilable factors amongst groups within society were just too different, too much at odds, and they were at loggerheads with each other. They could not get their big agenda through. Therefore, the parallel government would not be responsible to the public, and it could steamroll ahead and bring in their new world order. That's what's been happening.
For 70 years, Hydra has been secretly feeding crisis, reaping war. And when history did not cooperate, history was changed.
That's impossible. Shield would have stopped you.
Accidents will happen.
Hydra created a world so chaotic that humanity is finally ready to sacrifice its freedom to gain its security. Once the purification process is complete, Hydra's new world order will arise.
As we have acted in the great liberating tradition of this nation, tens of millions have achieved their freedom. Millions more will find it. By our efforts, we have lit a fire as well, a fire in the minds of men. It warms those who feel its power. It burns those who fight its progress. And one day, this untamed fire of freedom will reach the darkest corners of our world.
They've grown strong. And now I am forced to rise because we are all threatened.
What do you want, brother?
Let me loose upon them. They will pray again. And you will bathe in their awe and fear. And we will grow strong again.
Go. Do what you will.
Father, we need the mortals.
No, Apollo. Hades is right. Their insolence has a price. Like children, they need to be reminded of the order of things. Set an example, brother. Turn them on each other. And back into our arms.
Worlds.
created a flu that sparked a demand for a vaccine that doesn't work.
A human being with a mind as brilliant as yours, you could do anything. And instead you choose to rain down misery and death.
No, you don't have it. How much evil do you have to do good?
Your father created a world-changing, not world-ending, a world-changing, world-improving omnivirus. And we have taken that virus and embedded it in the vaccine of the SARS flu.
I knew it.
He created a panic, and now everybody's begging for the vaccine.
No. Demanding it with all the entitlement of a first world country.
Yes. And now we have exactly what we want. Hundreds of millions of Americans lining up, offering us their arms, and letting us give them our creation. What we are doing is far bigger than this.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it.
We are the Borg. Lower your shield and surrender your ships. We will add your biological and technological distinctiveness to our own. Your culture will adapt to service us. Resistance is futile.
And agenda control is exactly what people think.
And this is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
This is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
This is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
This is extremely dangerous.
That life here began out there, far across the universe, with tribes of humans who may have been the forefathers of the Egyptians, or the Toltecs, or the Mayans. Some believe that there may yet be brothers of man who even now fight to survive. Somewhere beyond the heavens.
I ain't talking to you no more.
You need to come with me to the police. If you tell them what you saw, they can help me.
Well, now you, dummy.
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, don't you get it? Police is the ones in on it.
For our policemen, we created a race of robots. Their function is to patrol the planets in spaceships like this one and preserve the peace. In matters of aggression, we have given them absolute power over us. This power cannot be revoked. At the first sign of violence, they act automatically against the aggressor. The penalty for provoking their action is too terrible to risk. The result is we live in peace. Without arms or armies, secure in the knowledge that we are free from aggression and war, free to pursue more profitable enterprises.
First, our efforts to understand and share information regarding the full range of domestic terrorism threats. Second, our efforts to prevent domestic terrorists from successfully recruiting, inciting, and mobilizing Americans to violence. Third, our efforts to deter and disrupt domestic terrorist activity before it yields violence, and finally, the long-term issues that contribute to domestic terrorism in our country must be addressed to ensure that this threat diminishes over generations to come.
We are in the process of developing a whole series of techniques which will enable the controlling oligarchy, who have always existed and presumably always will exist, to get people actually to love their servitude. People can be made to enjoy a state of affairs which By any decent standard, they ought not to.
Our masters!
What do these things want, and why are they here?
You still don't get it, do you, boy?
They have recruited the rich and the powerful.
They're running the whole show.
Wake up! They're all about you, all around you. Blinded us to the truth!
Look, they are safe as long as they are not discovered.
I don't know what they are or where they came from, but we gotta stop them.
Stay away from me.
Put these on.
They have us.
Look at them. They're everywhere. Our owners.
We have no other choice.
I don't like this one bit.
Leave it alone, man. It ain't none of my business. Ain't none of yours.
We have been lulled into a trance.
Listen to what I say to you. We're in trouble. The whole world's in trouble. Control us!
You're sending some kind of signals on TV sets.
I've got one that can see.
Mama don't like tattletale.
Now we start spilling some blood.
Let's go!
Push the button.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Oh, not a chance in hell.
Good night.
Oh, boys! I'm back!
The man I'm ready to take away to bring him down to the same state in which he is. Because this fall occurred to the envy of the devil. St. Ambrose writes, he quotes the scripture, Wisdom 2:24, by the envy of the devil, death came into the world. The cause of envy was the happiness of man placed in paradise, because the devil could not brook the favors received by man. His envy was aroused because man, though formed in slime, was chosen to be an inhabitant of paradise. The devil began to reflect that man was an inferior creature that had hopes of an eternal life, whereas he, a creature of superior nature, had fallen, had become part of this mundane existence. End of quote from the Treatise on Paradise. Then Genesis 3:1-6. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her.
About, and nuclear war is the last thing to worry about. What we need to be worrying about is a cyber war.
Yeah.
Is that what you're referencing, that possibly that could happen one day?
Well, of course. I think it's happening today. I think it's already happening. Since it is a cyber war, we're not going to see it. We're just going to see little evidences here and there. Because seriously, a cyber war would be a very inexpensive war. I mean, Korea has 2,100 hackers. It's a group of government hackers with the capacity to literally take down any country in the world, including the U.S., by any number of ways. Hacking into our power grid, shunting the electricity in such a way that all of our transformers burn out across America. Now, we have no electricity. How do you repair it? I don't know. All of our repair tools are electrically operated. Everything goes south. We don't have any electricity to run the plants to create the food and can them and ship them so that we can eat. We don't have the electricity to create fuel from raw oil. We have nothing to run our cars on. We have no lights. We have no heat. Hospitals are down. We have no emergency services. Think about it. Now, there's no nuclear war that could ever achieve that. There would always be pockets of we would still have something, but no.
The same is true for cyber attacks. Here, too, we have to move from simple protection to immunization. We need to build IT infrastructures that have digital antibodies built in inherently to protect themselves. In conclusion, I would like to state again how essential it is to see the high number of leaders that join the cyber polygon this year.
We all know, but still pay insufficient attention to the frightening scenario of a comprehensive cyber attack, which would bring to a complete halt to to the power supply, transportation, hospital services, our society as a whole. The COVID-19 crisis would be seen in this respect as a small disturbance in comparison to a major cyber attack. To use the COVID-19 crisis as a timely opportunity to reflect on the lessons the cybersecurity community can draw and improve our preparedness for
ourselves
a potential
and for future generations, a new world order.
The affirmative task we have now is to actually create a new world order, because the global order is changing again.
After 1989, President Bush kept said, and it's a phrase that I often use myself, that we needed a new world order.
It's an incredible window of opportunity to lead in shaping a new world order for the 21st century.
It is obvious that we are in the midst of the most severe crisis the world has experienced since World War II. 75 years ago, countries and people came together to shape the post-war global order, which brought us decades of peace, increased global cooperation and prosperity to hundreds of millions of people around the world. Now is the historical moment, the time, not only to fight severe virus, but to shape the system for the need for the post-corona era.
Eat your goddamn ass, you son of a bitch. You piece of shit. You fucking goddamn fucker. Listen, fuckhead. You have fucking crossed the line. Get that through your goddamn fucking head. Stop pushing your shit. You're the people that have fucked this country over and gang-raped the shit out of it and lost an election. So stop shooting your mouth off.
That lion gets up and tears the shit out of everybody. Runs like the wind. Eats everything in his path. Because every once in a while, the lion has to show the jackals who he is.
I am your voice. Taking back our country and creating a bright, glorious, and prosperous new future for our people. We will make America great again.
I am the storm.
I like Rex a lot.
He's here. Rex is here.
He's here. Do you want him to stay in his job?
Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you.
Rex is here. So is Trug. I know it's been a while since we've done the show. It's been a while since Trug has been here. And the situation is pretty much the same as it was last time we were on a show together, because all this bullshit is bullshit. The safety measures against pandemics, cyber attacks, and extremism will never stop until you willingly submit to tyranny. And then they will continue. Nobody is coming to save you. Nobody is coming to save you. He already came. And if you know where to look, he is still here. And he will save you, but not without your cooperation. Do the work or suffer evil. The people can be made to love their servitude. Aldous Huxley. Until they become conscious, they will never rebel. Until after they have rebelled, they cannot become conscious. George Orwell, 1984. Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. President John Kennedy. And the one that sums it up the most, get your heads out of your asses because we live here too. Trog. If you comply with the diktats of those who enslave and murder you, your children, and your countrymen, you are enabling tyranny and evil. Moral people have no choice but to revolt if the means are available. But they aren't. And in fact, will actually accelerate the manifestation of total tyrannical control under the guise of security and liberty. Most are too complacent to revolt, even if they disagree with the tyranny. Many actually welcome it. When you cannot revolt, you must resist. You must speak the truth. You must not be silent. You cannot comply. The ensuing consequences will not be pleasant. And courage is required to resist the temptation to comply, to concede, and to submit. But the promise of paltry benefits for your compliance will never, ever be delivered. If you comply, the oligarchs and their functionaries will consider your desire to be left alone as consent to that which they are already doing, and the measures of tyranny, control, and confusion will increase. Now, this is especially complicated for you law-abiding Christians of America, because, you know, Pastor Bob told you that we must follow the rules and obey the law. We can't do anything illegal. Well, I hate to break it to you, but you do something illegal as soon as you get out of bed in the morning. That's the name of the game. That's lawfare. Everybody is a criminal. Now, most of the time when you break these laws that you're not even aware exist, no one messes with you because you're inconsequential, and what you're doing, it doesn't affect their plans. But as soon as you become a problem, those laws are weaponized against you. Even if the letter of the law itself is not what's being applied, but some twisted intention to tyrannize you. Rudy Giuliani has had his law licenses revoked because he's become a problem. Probably because he's too old to give a fuck. So he fights, and they go after him because he's become a problem. The state is not going after you now. If the corporations are not going after you now, you're inconsequential, or you're not fighting, or you're complicit. Rebellion, which is something that's kind of ingrained in the American mind, in the American spirit, at least a vestigial nod to the mythology of our rebellion. We're kind of a rambunctious bunch, and that's because of the way this nation was formed. This nation was formed by people who dared a long, dangerous ocean voyage to come here and forge out a home in the wilderness. Now, were the colonists who landed on Roanoke Island in Virginia, what is today North Carolina, were they, you know, rebellious? Well, they certainly accepted the dangerous task of colonizing here, and unfortunately they didn't succeed. They got lost. But in 1607, permanent colony was founded in Jamestown. Now, that wasn't the first contact with the, quote, New World. That goes back to 1492 with Columbus. It goes back before that to various Irish sailors, to Viking sailors, to Japanese sailors. It goes back to people who might have crossed the land bridge from Mongolia through Russia. It goes back even further to the ships of Carthage. But the first permanent, modern English colonization of this land can be pointed to 1607, not 1619, not 1776, 1607. Those people had balls. Those people are your ancestors, even if they're not actually your ancestors, because your roots came here after that. Because the ethos and mythology of a nation is part of your culture, which is why your culture must be destroyed. Your statues have to be removed. Your symbols have to be denigrated. Your history has to be rewritten. Rebellion is the ethic of Americans. Now, ontologically speaking, rebellion is an evil act against God. And the first rebel, his most splendid creature, Lucifer, who is now roaring around like a lion looking for souls to devour. So, ontologically speaking, rebellion is actually evil. It's bad. But here, in this fallen world, in our present crisis of crazy and abundance of absurdity and the cavalcade of chaos, rebellion is the only option. Rebellion to the powers of the present darkness of this world and resistance to tyranny is obedience to God, who is Father and Son and Holy Spirit, and through whom is the only way beyond this blindness and into the light of truth and life. That's the only way, because in the current predicament in which you find yourself, whether you're aware of it or not, you don't actually have to do anything wrong. You don't have to do anything illegal. You don't have to say outrageous or controversial things to get banned, shunned, demonetized, censored, debanked, deplatformed, ostracized, and exiled, or jailed without due process, or killed. All you have to do is aim for sanity and speak the truth, the most rebellious thing you can do. And they will turn on you for it. Not only the tyrants and the governments and the corporations and the other institutions, but fellow Americans will turn on you. Don't ever underestimate the proud human capacity to defend a mistake to the death. If you can admit that you've made a mistake, that you've made errors, that you've made bad judgments, that you've believed in lies, in that humble acknowledgement of your mistake and taking personal responsibility, you'll be able to get beyond it and do something good. But most people are too proud to do that. Therefore, they will not acknowledge their mistake. They will actually enter a state of disassociative mental bifurcation and cognitive dissonance and doublethink in order to avoid acknowledging that they made a mistake. And they will defend their mistake to the death because it's become part of their identity. There was no fucking pandemic. And the vaccines are genetically engineering and genociding humans on a mass scale. Just not like millions of people are dropping dead like they told us COVID would do to us over a year ago. It's happening slowly, and it hasn't even begun to uptick yet. We're at about 1% of vaccine side effects currently. And don't believe for a second the number of, quote, vaccinated people is as high as they tell you. If it was, they wouldn't be bugging about it. They wouldn't be advertising it. They wouldn't be trying to push it. More people are resisting it than you are aware because people are afraid to speak out against it. Very few of those who mistakenly fell for it will acknowledge their mistake, especially if they've been jabbed. And most especially if they've jabbed their children, because they don't want to take that responsibility for harming or killing their child, unless they haven't seen their child yet because it's still inside the womb. But if they see their child and they jab their child and their child is injured, damaged, or killed, they absolutely will not acknowledge the mistake, and they will tell you to vaccinate your children. They will demonize, incarcerate, and kill you before they ever acknowledge their very obvious error. The next generation of adults is 20 years old this year. It's 2021, 20 years ago, which is about the amount of time it may usually take to form an adult. These days it could be longer. Is about 20 years. A generation is about 20 years. What happened in 2001? Event 101 happened in 2001. The towers were brought down by airplanes flown by 19 Saudi goat herders, and somehow the World Trade Center basically disappeared. It was dustified and disintegrated, and World Trade Center number 7 was demoed live on CNN, as they already announced that it had collapsed. These are facts. 9/11 is 20 years old this year. Kids that are becoming adults now grew up in a post 9/11, post Patriot Act world. Since they were very young, in their preteens, they have lived in a world of smart handheld devices that spy on you. The rest of us, well, we're 20 years older. And believe me, you can feel it in your bones. The rest of us are 20 years older, and unfortunately, most of us are not any fucking wiser. But some of us are, and more of us are aware than ever. When Zoomers, the generation that is now becoming adults, when Zoomers have children, they could restore sanity to the West. But if they continue with this, quote, vaccine pandemic inoculation scam, when the Zoomers discover that they can't have children, they will become the most revolutionary generation in history, and they might end up destroying everything. Social and biological engineering is very, very dangerous. And the die has been cast. You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. The reason for the current strain of stimulating the championing of minority rights, that's what we're talking about, right? Reparations, trans testicles, third wave feminists, you know, the military's gone woke, the critical race theory in your schools, all of this stuff, right? And they notice the words they use, minority. Minority means not white. That's what it means. That's how we use it on both the right, the left, everybody. That's how we use it. When you hear the word minority, the first thing you're thinking about is a non-white person, as specifically a non-white heterosexual male of the Christian persuasion. That's what you're thinking about. That's the antithesis. That's the majority. That's the oppressor class, even though that particular class might be the most oppressed of all. But in a democracy, minority means those that are not part of the majority, the voting majority. That's allegedly what it means, right? So they twist a reality through the system of governance, or at least of the process of the system of governance, and turn it into a sociological construct and weaponize it against those whom they deem are dangerous. And the reason is because by nature, oligarchs are always a minority, and they always control the rights that they privilege you to exercise. And so protecting minority rights ultimately is intended to protect the most minor of minorities, the ruling oligarchy who wields all the power. Allegedly, a democratic republic is a majority rule, right, meaning that you vote for your representatives, that whole taxation without representation reason for 1776. Even though, I mean, are you doing any better with taxation with representation? It can sucks. It's worse than taxation without representation before 1776 ever was. But presumably, it is the majority rule, so the majority of voters select the representatives, but the laws and structures are intended to protect minority rights, especially those who didn't vote for the said representatives. That's allegedly what a democratic republic is. But in practice, a democratic republic is extreme minority rule, coercive protection of the extreme minority's rights through a facsimile of majority participation and the imbalanced dispensing of a few inconsequential privileges simulating as rights. This is why the rigged elections, 2020 wasn't the first rigged election. They've been rigged for a long time, but most people were unaware of it, even though right here on this show, almost 10 years ago, Trog and I were talking about the fractional magic as exposed by Bev Harris, which is exactly what they did on November 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, and so on. As long as we participate in the scam, in the facsimile, and pretend that it's reality, this will never, ever stop. Your compliance and your participation gives consent to the current fucking mess in which we find ourselves. Sometimes, especially if you've seen War Games, 1983 movie, Matthew Broderick, sometimes the only way to win is by not playing the rigged game at all. Well, Rex, well, if we don't vote, then we don't have a chance. Okay, why don't you go to CPAC and follow Charlie Kuck around and listen to Ben Shapiro podcasts and Trump rah-rah-rah rallies, and then go push a button on a fucking iPad and see if anything changes. Why don't you just keep doing that over and over and over again, and then one day you'll realize, well, that doesn't work. Maybe we should try something else. I mean, I don't know if he's still talking. He was when we started the show. Yeah, he is. He's still rolling, man. President Trump, whose speeches since January 6th was pretty good, but since then have been pretty fucking tiresome. And I still love Trump. I love what Trump tried to do. I love what he got done. Just like we told you, if the Republicans don't get on board with Trump, and if the deep state isn't actually exposed, purged, then when they get their next puppet in, and their puppet is an extremely fucking pliable dotard, they will be able to reverse everything with a few signatures on paper. That's exactly what's happened. He's speaking at CPAC COV2. When the fuck have we ever had a cunt pack later in the year in another state? And granted, this year, you know, the one CPAC, the annual meeting, was in Florida instead of here in River City. But why are we having another one? Why, you know, with Charlie Kirk and Ben Shapiro and Jared Kushner and all those other Jews and Jesuits? I mean, why are we doing this? This is a waste of fucking time. Now, I don't know. I'm going to listen to it tomorrow calmly because it makes me sad and pisses me off. Maybe he's going to drop something big. I know on Maria earlier he was talking about, you know, who shot Ashley Babbitt. We all know who fucking shot Ashley Babbitt. His name is fucking Mike Bird. He's a fucking scumbag who should be exposed. And, you know, maybe somebody should put a fucking knee on his skull and hold it for 8.38 seconds. You know, how come when a black cop shoots a white woman, it's, you know, let's protect the black cop. But when a white cop puts his knee on a black career criminal drug addict's back, we burn down every fucking city in the country. And it's got nothing to do with black versus white. That's a myth. That's fucking ridiculous. You know how many black people are MAGA? Do you know how many non-white people are MAGA in America First? It's not about that. Most Americans of any race are not racists. It's a fucking myth. It's a Marxist ploy. It's a tool of division. It's a fucking lie. But there he is giving a speech at CPAC. It's fucking pathetic. And it's called CPAC America Uncanceled because of, you know, left cancel culture. You fucking kidding me? Nick Fuentes was canceled from CPAC, And Steve Bannon promotes this bullshit. And 7-8 years ago, he had to actually do a counter to CPAC called the Uninvited, because he was invited to CPAC, and then they booted him out. So he held his own event called Uninvited. Now Nick Fuentes has to be the guy holding an alternate event to CPAC, and Bannon is promoting it. You need to think hard about that. Not telling you not to watch War Room Pandemic. You really should, because that's the only place you're getting information. But just like anything else, from InfoWars to Fox News to War Room Pandemic, you need to watch it with a discerning eye and avoid the narrative that's being pushed, because Bannon is pushing a fucking narrative. And he has some strange obsession with Jews and Jesuits. It's weird. It's fucking weird. But big things are happening, right? The Arizona audit is pretty much done. The Merrick Garland's Justice Department wants to go mess with it. Some of the Republicans there are actually standing up. Some of them aren't. And then you've got Mastrantonio in Pennsylvania, who's now pushing for an audit, and they're trying to prevent that from happening. Because the scale of cheating in Pennsylvania was 1,000 times more than Arizona. It was only the McCainiacs in Maricopa that were actually able to foist the cheating in Arizona. With the assistance of Fox News, at Rupert Murdoch's order, to spin the whole thing. You got to keep that in mind. You got to remember November 3rd and what they did. All right, it's not about Trump. It's about the fact that they thwarted your choice. That's what you have to remember. That's what you must remember, because as long as they get away with it, nothing will ever change. Now, we also have, apparently, Mike Lindell is doing a symposium in mid-August. Obviously, he's got the data for how the electronic machines and the hacking was done. There's little, in my opinion, a little too much emphasis on blaming China, but China was involved. But where did Lindell get his data on January 9th? Pillow guy. Makes pillows and towels and mattresses, which are all good, and you should buy them. I just bought some more this week just to support him because he's doing good work. But how does this guy get the data of the election hack? There's only one place it could have come from. There's only one place. That's Space Force. Now, does that mean it's going to be conclusive? I don't know, but probably. Just because it's conclusive, does that mean that anything good will come from it? That's not looking so good. And Trump is essentially admitting defeat, saying that, you know, where's Durham? What kind of fucking question is that at this point? And, you know, Bill, he's still talking within the matrix. He says Bill Barr couldn't hold anybody to account. Bullshit. Bill Barr wouldn't hold anybody to account. Bill Barr was put in there specifically to cover it up. Bill Barr has been covering up for the corruption for a long time, from Ruby Ridge. Bill Barr's dad worked at the Dalton School in New York, the one where they just had an educator teaching six-year-olds how to masturbate using cartoon videos, cartoon pornographic videos. Bill Barr's dad worked there when Epstein worked there. It's entirely possible Bill Barr's dad hired Epstein. Bill Barr's dad also wrote a science fiction novel in which an extraterrestrial biological entity, underage girl. You have no fucking idea how bad this is. But Trump doesn't call that out. Why? I don't think that it's because he doesn't want to. Something's preventing him. You do the math on what that is. Like I told you on the last show that we did, or that I did a couple of weeks ago, America First and MAGA have to be bigger than Trump. But Trump is still the symbol. Defending the 2020 election and what they robbed him and us of is the most important thing, other than combating the coming genocidal pandemics. I mean, you know, Trump's now suing big tech, this lawsuit thing, which I honestly don't think it'll go anywhere, but it could be possibly a good tool, get something exposed. I don't know. But think about what he's actually doing. Essentially, by suing big tech, he is suing the intelligence community and the Wall Street banks, because it is the Wall Street bankers who were the functionaries of setting up the intelligence community through the Skull and Bones Network at Yale, And it is the Wall Street banks that finance the tech companies that are set up by the CIA / NSA. And that's what he's doing. And remember what Chuck Schumer told him. Don't take on the intelligence community because they have six ways from Sunday of getting back at you. Well, they've been getting back at him. Big tech is big intel. It's the same thing. There's no division. And there's going to be any fucking libertarian arguments about build your own platform, it's a private company. No, it's not. It's fucking CIA, NSA. Now they're threatening door-to-door vaccination checks. At the same time, they're doing search and destroy missions for extremists. And what's an extremist? You are. Even if you don't post anything offensive on Facebook, if you question the vaccines, you question the pandemic, question the 2020 election, you are an extremist. Tucker is making wonderful revelations about being spied on by the NSA. Snowden tell us that through Glenn Greenwald, who's on Tucker all the time now, and they're like shocked that this is happening. This is nonsense, people. This is all crap. It's all bullshit playing within the matrix. And all the parents rising up over critical race theory as if it's some new thing that they foisted on your kids. Again, I'm not saying don't fight these things. It's important. But don't think that if you manage to remove critical race theory from your schools that your kids are going to be educated just fine. Your kids are all sorts of fucked up, just like you are, because critical theory has been around for a long time. And using race as a wedge, a Marxian wedge in America, has been around for a long time. Keep in mind that the NAACP was set up by a bunch of Jewish bankers and lawyers because a fucking rapist raped a girl in the South. It has nothing to do with defending black people. Keep that in mind. The problem is that people on the right refuse to admit that they are Marxized on the Gramscian model through Alinsky tactics. Like I said at the very beginning, if you don't admit that you fucked up, you can't fix it. All right, I'm going to wrap this up and then I'm going to throw it to Trog because I know he's chomping at the bit. I told him to do a show and I'm ranted for almost 25 minutes. The colonials who rebelled against England tried to form the best government for our new country. And they did a great job given their personal backgrounds, theological errors, and you know, being the product of the Enlightenment, which you've been taught is a good thing. And there are some good things about what happened during the Enlightenment. But the Enlightenment overall is, it's mostly a Luciferian worldview. But the oligarchs of the city of London regained control over their old colony. Yeah, I said regained. They tried it for bits and starts all along the way, and they got more and more progressive. But really, especially 1913, 1944, and 1947, the oligarchs of the city of London regained control over their former colonial possession, founded through the Virginia Company, and we rebelled against them in 75, 76, and fought an 8-year war and kicked the shit out of them. We are now in the midst of an engineered crisis, and it will be devastating. It will be devastating. We haven't even seen the devastation yet. It will be devastating. But we will survive, and the Pax Americana will be implemented. That's right, I said the Pax Americana will be implemented. Unfortunately, that is a terrible thing. I mean, it's only slightly less bad than the, you know, Klaus Schwab's Great Reset. As we have the COVID-19 crisis is giving us great opportunity. Yeah, fuck you, Nazi scumbag. The cyber polygon is coming, people. You're seeing little bits and pieces of it, but it is coming. And us, Pax Americana, will only be slightly less bad than the Great Reset. Because our worst elements, the worst elements of our nation, and aspects that are, you know, not truly American, they've kind of been foisted upon us, but those elements and aspects will continue to spread throughout the world. As the CCP, the Chinese, well, I have to be careful because they censor us on this. It's the Chinese Communist Party, but, you know, we'll call it the Communist Chinese, right? The 90 million members of that with their central committee who are the ascended masters of the ruling oligarchs of the ancient families of the current Chinese dynasty. They're going to get more robust. They're going to get way more robust. They're manning up their military. And we continue to become the gayest, most Jewish nation on earth, thanks mostly to the Republicans. It's the Republicans, stupid. How long have Trog and I been telling you it's the Republicans, stupid? Republicans suck donkey dick. And it's their fault, more than the Democrats. Democrats are actually kind of pathetic, other than the fact that they never stop fighting because they have controlled opposition, which is the Republicans. See, politics is how we order our lives together. That's what it's supposed to be. It's a subset of ethics. Economics, financial economics, and politics are a subset of ethics. That's the way it's supposed to work. But we've elevated to a theological proposition. Believe science. That's a political statement that's actually a erroneous theological proposition. Right? But it's supposed to be how we order our lives together. And we should have a vigorous public debate about the specific prescriptions, and we want to keep it as local as possible, frankly, as close to anarchy as we can, while robustly doing those few necessary things that must be done on a national scale. We don't do that. We pretend to do that in this counterfeit republic. We don't actually do that. There are more important things than our fake counterfeit politics. This is where the oligarchs engineering, the ones engineering the current chaos, have the most power. It's not in politics. It's outside of politics. And here's the secret. This is where you could have the most power, but you refuse your duty. And without duty, there are no rights. Duties precede rights. Culture is where the fight is. And not some kind of fake culture war put on in the false left dialectic, the false left-right dialectic that Republicans constantly lose on. What do you mean Republicans constantly lose? Everything the Republicans are fighting today was set in place a long time ago. And everything the Republicans and conservatives accepted yesterday was the leftist position the decade prior. Bruce fucking Jenner chopped off his dick and is running for governor, and the Republicans like it. Fuck them. And fuck Bruce Jenner. But culture is where the real, the true cultural battle that hasn't even been fought. Your children, your language, your religion, your borders, your customs, your history, your mythology, your recreation, your entertainment, education, work ethic, business practice, all of the aspects of this prelude to life in which we find ourselves are the places where this battle is truly fought and won. And it's where you have the most power that you have given up and not exercised. This was lost long before you lost the rest, and long before you were born, really. And now the control and genocide is here, and you are late, and the unfolding consequences of decades of decay will manifest. Nothing can stop that. Might you be able to mitigate it? Maybe. But you cannot stop it. You might be able to reshape it, redirect it for the generations not yet born. That work, that hard work, that belongs to the millennials and the Zoomers. And the wise guiding elders in this quixotic enterprise are the Xers, as the boomers exit to their reward. Situation normal, all fucked up. Possibly FUBAR. We need healing. We all need to be healed individually. We need to heal the nation collectively. It's a long slog with near impossible chances of success, but that's what you have to do. And the first step towards that is don't consent. Don't comply. Rebel. Rebel. You know who rebels really good? Prehistoric philosopher with the club.
Chris! Chris! Chris!
I'm busy!
I'm busy, you stupid dick!
Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and they hear the lamentation of your women.
Hey, Captain Caveman, you see Branson shot himself into the stratosphere today, and hopefully he's denied reentry.
No, what are you talking about?
Virgin Galactic, or Virgin whatever the fuck, you know, that freak.
Musk
shot himself, into space today. I think Bezos is next, and then Musk. Some rockets for everyone.
Wow. I'll check it out. I didn't catch that. Hey, I have a question. When Jenner whacked his winky off, did he like put it in a jar of formaldehyde to keep on the shelf?
No, actually, I think that that his winky is actually the prize in every box of Wheaties.
Ah! Oh God, help me.
Have you noticed that those Kardashian Jezebels have ruined more men than any faggot ever?
Well, yeah. You know, the other side of that argument is where are the real men? You know what I mean? You know? Like back in the garden, Adam was doing the listening. He should have been doing the talking. You know, it's pretty fundamentally simple.
Unfortunately, we've got this First Amendment that gives them free speech and this 19th Amendment, I think it's the 19th Amendment, that lets them vote. Ladies, I'm only half serious before you hit me up and start yelling at me, okay? I'm only half serious. I'm not actually a misogynist. That was partially a joke. Although you got to think that ever since women's suffrage has come through, we've been more and more progressive.
Partially a joke. Anybody catch that? Interesting. So what's been going on? I just went through the whole group, opened up all threads, scanned through all the shit that's been posted, went, okay, well, you know, that's wonderful, and what are they going to do about that? Who's going to prosecute this? And, you know, it was just like, yep. So it took me about 15, 20 minutes to basically get caught up on the last month and a half, 2 months, and I'm sitting here going, okay. Now what? What I am finding is there are some good people out there fighting the good fight, and then there's Republicans. Worthless pieces of shit. You know, I was thinking about some things as I agreed to the show today was, you know, I kind of just different things processing through my mind. One of them was, I have no doubt, I mean, I would bet, as long as they don't allow the Democrats to kick them out of the counting rooms, you know, obedient Republican personas, you know, they're just so good at following rules. I'm sorry, but we're closing down. I'm sorry, but you can't be here. Oh, okay. We'll go outside so you can steal another election. I mean, you know, it's what I've said so many times. The Democrats fight. Their politics is bullshit. Their ethics and morals are bullshit. What they say is bullshit, but they fight, and they fight, and they fight, and they push, and they'll do crime right in front of your face, right in front of the camera. They'll burn your cities down, and everybody stands there and follows the rules. You were talking about rebellion early. I was thinking about that, and in a lot of ways, I don't think it's necessarily about rebellion. It's just quit being a pussy, you know, quit being a rule follower. Whose rules are you following? You know, that's the thing, because, you know, you talk about breaking law. You know, I don't think anybody goes out there unless you're, you know, Democrat, you know, because you can break laws and they get bailed out by pools of funds that are put together by Democrat politicians. But then all the Trump MAGA people are still sitting in, you know, jails rotting away around that, you know, bullshit false flag in Washington, D.C. So, you know, it's like it's that gray area. They keep you. That's why I said this a long time ago. You know, when Trump has always said this thing about pro-police and, you know, we're pro-military, pro-police, pro-this, pro-that. And I'm like going, I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that. You know, for the most part, I've lived, you know, a lot of years, and I've never really asked for police help.
I pity the fool goes home crying to his mama.
Required police help. A few times in my life that I've had interaction with cops, it's always after the fact, and they can't do anything about it, you know. But, I mean, it's kind of like I'm kind of like this conversation, you know, like we're supposed to be the rules following law and order side of the political equation, while they're the radical, you know, revolutionaries on the other side of the equation. And yet, they keep winning. I'm sorry, but I'm like, who pickled our brains? You know, I've always been a rebellious kind of anti-authoritarian authority type person, but not because I wanted to go out and, like, you know, commit crimes, burn people's houses down and do terrible things to other people, but mostly because I don't need you fucking policing me.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm sure
I'm the same way, mostly because I wanted to get high and get laid. But yeah, I get it.
Well, that's been multi-decades ago for me. I'm not talking about, you know, I got a whole half a lifetime beyond those years. But even in my party days, we didn't go breaking into homes and burning people's businesses down and stealing their cars.
We worked to take out ladies and pay for our own drugs. We were responsible,
yeah, you know, work, own businesses, you know, did some stupid shit, but it was mostly self-destructive, you know. So, I don't know. I don't know if it's the whole umbrella of the concept of what a Republican is supposed to be, because I would argue with a lot of the points. And as much as I, you know, and you and I said this in the past before Trump ever came to office, was, yeah, I think we need to get the hell out of the rest of the world and build the biggest ass-kicking military in the world and come home and protect our country. And if somebody steps on our dick, we go and we crush them, and then we come home after we take restitution for them forcing us to spend our money. You know, we've never been this military all over the world shit. You know, when Trump talked about, made that negative comment about Bitcoin, and he was talking about, you know, I want the U.S. dollar to be the reserve currency of the world. I'm like going, it don't matter what you fucking want. The Federal Reserve is destroying the dollar.
we sold
out the fucking country to China decades ago. They run our country. You know, and so when I hear shit like that out of a Republican's mouth, I don't care if it's Trump or anybody else, I'm like, oh, what the fuck is wrong with you? That ain't going to win this war. You know, this war that we're fighting is our sovereignty, you know, inside of a globalist construct that we fucking built. You know, I didn't build it. You didn't build it. But that's what they did post-World War II. You know, we fought. I think one of the few comments I made the week or so ago, whatever, was, you know, we thought back, you know, World War II that we had rid the world of fascism and Nazism. And no, we didn't rid the world of any of that shit. All we did was win the right to control it all. That's what we did. Those fuckers that were in charge, that post, we've done tons of show on this stuff. You know, that post-World War II Bretton Woods bullshit and everything that we set up post-World War II was the New World Order. It is what you are living today manifest. And so when politicians on the right defend this shit, I'm like going, and you want me to fucking vote for you? I mean, why? You know, I can vote for a Democrat. They just tell you what they're going to do. They're going to fuck it all up and we're going to submit to China. At least they're honest about it. You know, I mean, God, people, that's the challenge that I'm having in this whole dialogue. It's why it's very difficult to do a show. It's because all this bullshit's bullshit.
And I don't know, you know, I see some good, decent Republicans out there fighting a good fight, but I'm so wary of all of them. Where the fuck were most of these people when Trump was in office and they were pulling all these coup attempts and everything else? And then that post bullshit that was the biggest in your face false flag, you know, in Washington, D.C., and that bullshit, they all went quiet. And I've said it before, they wanted Trump out of office just as bad as the Democrats and Schwab and the rest of the fucking globalists did. Why? Because they're fucking liars. That's why. Because they are not what you think they are. And yet we're caught in this dilemma of, okay, it's midterm elections. What do you do? Fuck, you know, what are you going to do? No third party? Yeah, like that fucking works. Okay, well, vote Democrat. Well, you don't have to do that because they already cheat. They don't need your vote. Like Joe Biden said, I don't need you. I don't need you now. I don't need your vote. We got printing presses, just like the Federal Reserve, you know.
Unless,
we just print
unless
them.
They actually fix the election system, which is in its nascent stages now, voting is the only way to look at voting right now is George Carlin way. Don't fucking vote. It only encourages them.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to, you know, what to say about it. I mean, I've always told people, I've always said that, you know, I'm not going to tell people who to vote for and how to vote and should you vote. It's just kind of a, I don't know, it's kind of a position I have because you got to do what you got to do. But it's not easy. You know, I held my nose a lot, you know, during Trump when he told us how wonderful Mitch McConnell was and McCarthy is and, you know, all this bullshit. Yeah, we excused it off as well as politics and, you know, he can manipulate these people and, you know, get them into control. Yeah, right up until they fucking stole the election and the Republicans helped do it. So now what are you doing?
Press
you
the
know?
Plan. Press the plan. It's 5D chess.
Yeah. Oh, you guys were doing
yeah.
that too, Rex and Trog. You were telling us Trump.
You know what? when you're in the middle of it, if there's a chance that it could happen, you don't undermine your own efforts.
Bingo.
And
you
the
don't
fact
shoot
of the
your general in the middle of the war.
Right. You don't frag your general in the middle of war. Well, you guys are fragging your general now. I'm not fragging Trump. I still think he's great for what he did. I'm just not
yep.
sure that he's able to do it again. Hopefully he will. Hopefully this con plan thing is working in our favor. But all indications are that's not what's fucking happening. So live in the world
who knows,
as not
could,
as you wish it were.
Yeah, and who knows? Like that could be the plan. You know, if they took Trump very seriously because he whooped their asses in 2016, and then they attacked nonstop until they pushed him out of office. And so, it's like you said earlier. You know, you break laws every day. You don't even know what the hell you're doing wrong. You've been on social media all these years. Say, oh, they have everything they need to fucking disappear you know, call you a domestic terrorist and poof, you're gone. You can sit in jail with the rest of the Trump supporters, MAGA supporters. So I don't know. It'll be interesting. So maybe he's playing it this way. Who knows? I don't know. I'm not that smart anymore. You know, used to think I had it figured out because I thought we had somebody that was going to kick ass and take names. And I was very wary when he wouldn't take down his enemies. And that was pretty early on for me. And I kept waiting for that master stroke. And that master stroke was the Capitol building and sayonara, Trump. Head up. You can go to Mar-a-Lago now. You know,
and again, the way you look at things in 2016, 17, 18, 19, even up through January 6th of 20, is one thing, right? The fact that he's still in that lane now is a problem. The fact that he's talking about how great he did with the vaccines is a problem. He's turned on Mitch McConnell, but he has not turned on the Republicans. He is talking at CPAC. He's on Fox News, and he's speaking within the confines of Democrat, Republican, and I understand that he's going to be running for office, so therefore, you know, that's part of the game. But the allowance that he got for all the things that I think he sincerely did, and if anybody says anything bad about what he accomplished in those first 3 years, I will punch him in the nose because it was fucking great. But the allowances that he got back then for having to play Machiavellian games and psyops and all that is not afforded to him now.
Nope. Missourian? Is it Kansas or Missouri? Show me state. Which one is the show me state?
Missouri is the show me state, isn't it?
Yeah. So I'm a Missourian now. You know, I mean, I tell you what. Yeah, you guys have no clue. They're printing a lot of money. Or not even money. Currency. Oh, man. Man, oh, man. I remember all the conversations about, you know, about the bailouts when Obama came to power. That would even be $1 trillion, folks. And this is like this ongoing thing. I'm like looking at the markets. I'm looking at, you know, real inflation, trying to calculate it out. And wow.
Gas,
you know,
$4 a gallon. It was $1.87 last year. Tell me there's no inflation.
Yeah, I went down and filled up my wife's car, and it was $4.05 for regular. I was like, I think it was possibly around 4th of July, and I was like, huh, about that shit. Who didn't know this was coming? See, that's a problem. The enemies people on the right believe in is everybody. Big oil, big tech, banks, Federal Reserve, politicians, international countries, international conglomerates, communist Chinese and all their state-owned enterprises. All of those people are the enemy. And so I remember when Trump got the oil prices down and you got, you know, natural gas and oil production up in America, and we hit the first, you know, self-reliant position. I remember back then thinking, I'll bet these fucking oil companies hate this. Because they had their deal going on. You know, the internet, you know, we always, the right loves to talk about such shallow topics about getting money from people who aren't necessarily, you know, getting oil from people who aren't necessarily our friends. Oh, come on. You don't understand how the oil market works. These companies are all over the world. And then there's the whole oil futures market. They don't care if Iran pumps the oil or Saudi pumps the oil. They don't care how many terrorists or whatever they do. They don't give a shit. It's all about control and prices and profitability. They don't care that the Chinese use slave labor. Well, most Americans, they only care when you know somebody posts something about it. But most people don't give a shit that the crap they bought is made by some slave labor, you know, individual in a communist country. People don't give a shit. They get all riled up if somebody posts some shit on Twitter. But really, when it boils down to it, by these things you do in your life, you really don't give a fuck. So let's quit kidding ourselves. You know, somebody brings up something about the whales and plastic bags, and everybody jumps up and there's a big movement. Then they outlaw plastic bags. And I'm thinking, well, you fucking idiots, you outlawed paper bags because we've killed all the trees. Now you're outlawing plastic bags because somebody posted some shit on Twitter and you had a couple news stories, and now you're all concerned about it. Well, you were concerned about it for the last 10 years that we've been using plastic bags. You didn't give a shit. That's the part that frustrates me about people in general. As long as we are able to be manipulated, then what are you bitching about?
Because that's part of the manipulation, getting you to bitch. Part of the engineering is getting you to bitch.
Well, and then after they got rid of plastic bags because they were killing all the sea life, then people, you know, bought like reusables, and then
COVID, and then all of a sudden we found out how filthy these things were because nobody was cleaning them, and then everybody freaked out, and then they wouldn't use reusable grocery bags. I mean, come on, it's just that you're always in reaction mode. That's probably the key to this thing.
Of course it is, because we never get back to the root. The root isn't facing these. That's why they do it this way, Trog. That's why it's no masks. Then masks are mandatory. Then masks inside but not outside. Then masks everywhere. Then masks nowhere. Then two masks. It's designed to keep you in a state of terrorized
reaction mode.
It's a state of terrorized confusion so that you're not even really reacting. You are falling into a Stockholm syndrome because you can't figure anything out. You never go to the root cause, which is that you've allowed your mind to be corrupted and weakened, and you refuse to do anything about correcting it. And so
not only that, you become members and you follow people. You first you listen to them, or somebody turns you on to somebody, then you listen to them, and then you go, that's checking off all the way. Then you become addicted to that person, and then they freaking start manipulating you. And I this is really interesting, too, because in the crypto market, one of the things that I've learned in this game, you know, is all the idiots who buy high and sell low freak out when it starts to crash, you know, when you have a natural, you know, these radical cycles that the market has. And people, they run in because all of a sudden everybody's like, oh, my God, Bitcoin's going through the ceiling. So they're like, oh, shit, I need FOMO, fear of missing out. Then they'll FOMO in high, and then it'll go up and peak on them and drop like a mother fricker, you know, like in a day and a half, you know, after they spend a bunch of money. And then they freak out and they start selling. And they sell it right down to the bottom and lose all their fucking money, and then they whine and moan. And I'm like, well, do you ever step back and study a chart? You know? I mean, most of the people who made wealth in any market are people who bought things either at the bottom of a crash. I don't know if you ever follow Michael Saylor, MicroStrategies, but he talks about his investment through the years. He was buying shit when everybody was like, what are you buying that shit for? You're crazy to buy that shit. Made him hundreds of millions of dollars, you know? And it's what is it, Buffett that always says the art of investing is taking money from the impatient. It's the same thing. It's all that emotional, fear-based. You're either afraid of missing out, or you're afraid you're losing something, and they just trigger that shit all day, every day, and laugh at you as they buy at the bottom and make a bloody ass fortune.
That's how the casino
works. And it's no, what's that?
That's how a casino works.
Yeah.
You think they can drop you the fucking suite because they're nice? They comp you the suite because they're still making money.
Yeah.
The house always wins. I mean, fear and greed have always driven markets and human decisions. Look at the Dutch tulip market. That was all fear and greed. And the house made out like bandits. And why was it going on in the Netherlands? Well,
the housing boom
has
the same thing.
It has a lot to do with Queen Isabella in 1492. Do the math.
Yeah. Yeah, and even the housing bubble, the post-housing bubble, a lot of people who helped build that fucking bubble started shorting it in the crash and made a bloody-ass fortune on the way down. And then they all got bailed out. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like, yeah.
Some people made a lot of money shorting airline and transportation stocks on September 10th, 2001.
Oh, you know it. You know it. Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, not to sidewind the conversation on investment, but it's the same game. You know, it's the same bullshit, and it's the same people. None of these people like Trump. I don't think people understand how much he was hated. Why do we like him so much? Because he rebelled against all of the institutions that I have watched rise up around me in my lifetime that I believe are bleeding my country dry. I mean, I was very committed to that concept, you know,
it's
America first, sovereignty, we need
jobs. We need secure borders. I mean, all those talking points are huge buzzwords for me. And it was going to be a massive effort to turn it around. And I remember saying over and over again, he needs two terms. One term is not going to be enough because it's exactly what happened, exactly what I predicted, and exactly what I said was going to happen. They would wipe out 90% of what he did in less than 30 days. And they did, call executive orders. Because Ryan gave up the fucking House, and we barely held on to the Senate, and the Republicans were able to ride in the shadows like they always have forever, always have as far back as I can remember, you know, and to pretend that, oh, we can't do anything. Hell, and I've said this before, the Democrats never acted like they were defeated when Trump came to power. They acted like they was a majority, and they acted like they won, and they pushed every frickin' agenda 110% forward while the Republicans sat around and basically worked in the shadows against Trump. Now,
because Republicans,
I know,
that's donkey dick.
That's kind of negative, and it's kind of doomsday. But it's like when I look out across the board, early on, after they pulled this coup on Trump, I said, you need to be careful who you're following, because you're going to find out real quick people who are serious about MAGA and people who were bullshitting you, because the first thing they're going to do is quit talking about election fraud, and they're going to start corralling you into the midterm mindset. They're going to do what Republicans have already always done. Now, some of us, you don't have to be really old to remember this shit, but if you go back to the Tea Party, after they destroyed the Tea Party, immediately the goal was to get you out of that mindset, corral you back into the Republican mantra, and get you to go fucking vote and knock on doors. And I understand that in terms of political gamesmanship, but it's more than that for Republicans, because Republicans keep you focused on the left, right, so they can screw you and pretend that they're on your side. Now, what's the solution to this? I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Well, we're beyond playing electoral games. I mean, take just like what you just said is a huge point. The Republicans are going to do it to you again. That's what the CPAC bullshit is all about. I hate to break this to you, and I hope I'm wrong, but I have a feeling that a lot of you are going to be so disappointed in the great, notorious MTG. She's the right-wing AOC. Watch. Just watch. I'm telling you. Oh, Rex, you're wrong. Marjorie Taylor Greene is a super patriot. Okay. You go on and believe that. Just watch. The problem that you just elucidated is that we're going to go back into trying the old useless tools that we know always fail to maybe have it work this time. That's insane. You got to come to sanity. That's insane. That's not going to work. That's why you have to rebel. Compliance is consent. You go and you door knock and you vote. Now, on a local level, that's probably fine. But look at what the RPV did here. We had two MAGA candidates. They rigged it so that the biggest cuck of all becomes the nominee for governor. And remember, Virginia and Jersey are bellwether states for the midterms or the next election, blah, blah, blah. And Trump's endorsing the fucker. He's playing that Jared Kushner fucking Republican game, and we're beyond that. He needs to move beyond that, or more importantly, we need to move beyond him. And people aren't getting that. See, the problem is Trump didn't do what he needed to do in that first term because of they were trying to win elections. Somehow they convinced him of this, and because of his belief that he's the ultimate negotiator and can get people on his side, including Democrats and people that stand against him, that's not how this scheme works. And most people are going to go with whoever won. Right? Most people have no idea what you're actually doing as far as policy, executive orders, governance, because for the most part, the government is an independent functioning entity. That's what the intelligence, quote, community was for. It's to operate irrespective of the public government. And you're not going to like this, folks, but what needed to happen was a full Machiavellian move. Everybody needed to be purged. Entire departments needed to be eliminated. And people needed to get arrested. And because the courts are also corrupt, liquidated. That's what needed to be done.
What was that post I put out? I put out a post, I don't know, a week or so ago. I said what we needed was Constantine, not Barnum and Bailey. Do you remember that post?
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true.
You know, I'm all for the show, the dynamic, the energy, the momentum, reaching people. Trust me, I got a whole background of different business, you know, marketing, public speaking, all this crap. I mean, I've done this shit all my life. I get it. You got to move people. And you got to move stupid people. And you got to move people who need to be moved. Because for the most part, you know, 90%, 95% of the people you meet are followers. I get all that stuff. And so I wanted to, you know, I watched the show and I enjoyed the show, but I kept looking for that, what you said, Machiavellian, you know, approach. The new prince has got to take power, you know, and sometimes taking power is a lot more drastic than the average human being is comfortable with in a nice way. That's as deep as I'm going to go into that conversation, read between the lines. And it's like them. We sure got people sitting in fucking jail from that stupid walking in the Capitol event with the cops waving people in. And a lot of those people are still sitting in jail. The Democrats, they're street people, right? They went out and burned down cities, and then they set up funds to get them out of jail and to give them lawyours. And we
Harris paid for it with your money.
And we just sit here on our side and go, oh, well, yeah, that's too bad. No. If you don't protect your soldiers, you ain't going to win no fucking war. And it's so amazing to me how we're able to justify that stuff in our mind and how quickly we can do that. And how do you keep loyalty if you allow people to needlessly bleed on the street, needlessly? In any war, in any conflict, people are going to die, people are going to bleed, people are going to get hurt. But if you needlessly sacrifice your people, you will lose the fucking war. And that's not the only incident I've experienced, you know, in this last reign of years, you know, watched happen. And so, I don't know. This stuff's hard to talk about, Rex, because I saw it coming. I knew what was going to happen. And I, in my gut, I was watching it, and we talked about it on a few shows, and I'm like going, yeah, whatever. Tired of talking about it. Not tired of fighting. I've never, you know, I lived to fight. I was born fighting, you know. But who in the hell do you fight next to?
You don't have a choice.
Yeah, but who do you fight next to?
Remember, losing doesn't get you a pass. They're going to come for you anyway, especially if they win. But see, people don't want to believe that. They want to think things are going to go, quote, back to normal, and that's how you lose. But, I mean, the thing is, I mean, just put it this way, right? Presumably, conservatives, Republicans, right-leaning libertarians, moderate Democrats, presumably, these are people that champion the Christian ethics of Western civilization, right? Presumably.
And that's yet, a big presumably.
And yet, we've been murdering the most innocent on a national scale under color of law since 1973. We're halfway through 2021. Do the math. If you're willing to put up with that, if you're willing to sacrifice your future, if you're willing to murder the most innocent,
Well, it's time we have immigration, Rex. Come on.
You're not suited to fight for anything. You're not suited to fight for anything. But here's the thing. Are you willing to admit that you fucked up? Are you willing to humble yourself and say, I looked at it wrong? But see, the right is designed specifically to gloss over the errors and plant a flag for what the Democrats were fighting for 10 years ago. Today's Republicans and conservatives are defending the errors the Democrats foisted upon us 10 years ago. If all you're going to conserve is liberal errors, you're never going to win. It's a left ratchet, and you cannot undo it. But you see, there are certain... What's that?
Guess what we said many shows ago? John F. Kennedy couldn't get elected as a Republican today. He would have been too conservative.
No way. Yep, and he was a complete liberal, just like Trump. Trump's a liberal, people. You don't understand this, but he's a liberal. And so are you. You're just retarded liberals. And the liberals, the Democrats are progressive liberals. And the conservatives are slower progressive liberals. That's why you've got the right wing cheering Bruce Jenner in California. If you're willing to have a man govern who chopped off his own dick, you have zero chance for success. But you see, there are certain things that you accepted, and you don't want to admit that you were wrong. Hold on to them.
Come on. You're just intolerant. Come on. Come on.
Damn right I am. I'm totally fucking intolerant. And you know who else was intolerant? Jesus of Nazareth. He was very intolerant. He actually said, you are neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm. I wish that you were hot or cold, but because you are lukewarm, I vomit you out of my mouth. That's pretty fucking intolerant. Jesus needs to go to sensitivity training and, you know, tone down his message. Imagine the tweets Jesus would be sending out.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta
the Jesus
be
tweet. Hey, we should open the Twitter account, the Jesus tweet.
you are white supporter.
That lasts about two tweets.
Yeah. The entire globalist move towards evil is an anti-Christian spirit. That's what it is. You have to understand that. Now, I know a lot of you aren't deep believing Christians, which, you know, I understand that. I was in the wilderness for over three decades myself. I'm just telling you what the truth is. And the spirit of the evil is exactly that. It's anti-Christian, anti-Christ. It's the spirit of Antichrist. And it is finding its way into the world system by your hands. I mean, when I said at the beginning that America is the gayest nation in history, it's true. You have an entire month devoted to butt-fucking. Think about that. You're teaching children.
And children twerking on the street. Isn't that great?
Yeah. Well, you're teaching them to masturbate in fifth grade, and you're giving them condoms, in kindergarten, and you're giving them condoms in fifth grade. What do you think's going to happen? And then I get yelled at, why do you have to use curse words? Fuck you. Things that are being done to children, and you're offended that I told you to fuck off, you should fuck off. Fuck yourself. You fucking let it happen. But I am pro-life. No, you're not. You're not fucking pro-life. None of you are pro-life. You're pro-birth. You're all pro-birth, right? Once the baby is in the woman, you want to defend the baby. But you discard all of God's order for sexual behavior up until that moment of conception. Actually, up until the moment of birth. Because you're okay with contraception. Which means you're okay with fucking without the intent of making a baby. Now, what do we call people who like to fuck a lot and not have babies? Not because they're in, you know, there's a medical problem or something, but just people who like to have a lot of fucking sex and not produce children and have families. You know what we call them?
American?
Yeah, might as well. Sodomites. if you're having sex without the purpose of having children and a family, you're a functional sodomite. And so we have contraception, and we have fornication, and we have divorce and adultery. But, you know, once that, and we have exceptions for incest and rape and all this other stuff. Well, you're not pro-life. You're punishing the baby for your own fucking errors. As long as you're willing to do that, nothing's going to change.
Everything else goes. I think I've said that before.
Willing to murder the babies, you know, there is no evil you won't tolerate.
It's just a matter of time. It's called progression. Yeah. Exactly like I predicted. Yeah, no, it's pretty fundamentally simple. The problem is we don't want, it's just like I said earlier, and I know that probably irks some people. I don't care. You know, if you're buying shit because you got to buy shit you don't need that's made by slaves in some foreign country, then why do you get on Twitter when somebody posts something about what's going on over there and then get all upset and everybody posts a bunch of shit about it? You didn't really care. If you cared as a consumer, you would take – we live in the age of the Internet. The whole world is at your fingertips. You can research and find out where products are made, and you can find out, you know, what that country's about, what their politics are. You can learn a lot pretty fast. But, see, we don't want to be bothered with the truth until somebody we follow makes a big deal about it. Then we get all riled up because somebody showed us something we should have known in the first place.
Yeah.
And this dynamic, this bullshit that we talk ourselves into, this false outrage or temporary outrage that we have, goes away as fast as the news cycle goes away. And
that's a lot
right
of bullshit.
They go right back to consuming the same shit. They go right back to buying Chinese crap from a country who is taking us over and wants to rule the world and is pretty fucking brutal to their people. Both in control, spying on people, total control, and you know, disappearing people and killing people, highest capital punishment rate, you know. I mean, it's like you're not really fighting the war. Because here's the thing. A lot of us don't have big voices in the sphere, in the battle zone. Some people do have big voices because they built that shit. You know, some of us don't. Then it's back to, what can I do as an individual? I don't know. Start with simple things. You know what I mean? Are you living outside your means? Where are you buying your shit? You know, does it bother you that we have whole races of people or religious groups in China thrown in prisons that are, you know, being open, you know, live organ harvesting, which is pretty brutal. But the organ's a lot fresher if you take it out when the person's alive. You know, oh, does that bother you? It should have been bothering you a long time ago because it's been going on for a long time. And it's been out there for a long time. I heard about it a long time ago. But,
yeah, but
now
it bothers
you because
until
they
it was
said
on Fox
something
News.
About it?
Until Tucker Carlson started speaking about it, it didn't bother people. But here's the
yeah.
thing. Let me be real.
Who in the hell watches Fox News that claims they're a Republican or somebody on the right still?
Boomers. Boomers and older Xers.
Well, they're going to all die.
Remember,
soon.
Fox has only lost like 40% of their audience. CNN and the others have lost like 80%. Fox has only lost 40%. And then, of course, most of those 40% hopped over to Newsmax, which is hardly better. But I mean, here, let me be real blunt and real crass and kind of kick it in the face.
Oh, blunter than you normally are?
Yeah. Do I care about the organ harvesting of the Uyghurs in China? In the abstract, yes, of course I care. I care about every human being.
Well, the Gulag, they love the Gulag because they're really healthy.
Right, but there's 7.8 billion people on the planet. I can't do anything about all of them, right? So do I care about the organ harvesting of the Uyghurs? No, I don't give a fuck. You know why? We're fucking harvesting the organs of American babies.
Bingo.
Care about that. do I care that the Japanese slaughter dolphins indiscriminately? Yes, it's a terrible thing. But no, I don't give a fuck about the dolphins. I care about the babies born in my country who are being slaughtered and harvested and sold. That's what I care about. See, you got to get your priorities straight. And you got to stop with the bullshit where, you know, Posobiec or Cernovich or Bannon or Charlie Kirk tweets out about Coca-Cola wants people to be less white. Boycott Coca-Cola. Fuck you. They've been jamming this shit down your throat all the time. All of a sudden, you're going to care about it.
Okay.
Again, I'm not,
Wait a second. Why do you drink that shit in the first place? It'll kill you.
Exactly. There's that. And then, for example, you know, oh, Little Nas has like a satanic shoe with blood in it. That's fucking terrible, but who the fuck cares about Little Nas? Quit talking about him. You're going to make him more popular than he ever should be because he's a no-talent little faggot who consorts with the devil. But yet, you probably buy Nikes. Didn't think about that, did you? See, they tell you what to be outraged about here and there to keep you fighting and to keep you thinking that there's some way of doing the same old, and getting a different result.
You mean just like the left does with their followers?
Exactly.
Oh.
You know, like the Occutards with their fucking Birkenstocks and their iPhones and their $4 cups of coffee are bitching about the corporations.
Well, you
Forgive
know what
me,
I want to know about?
Seriously.
What's with the fucking man bun? I never did figure that out.
I don't know. I mean, I know that the monks usually have their hair like that, but I don't know why the hip woke tards do.
Is it some Hindu adoption thing?
I mean, for all I know, it could be. I mean, look at all, you know, you say, I'm a Christian. I'm a conservative. And I'm not putting up with this stuff. But I'm going to grab my yoga mat and go do hot Bagram yoga. Well, yoga's satanic. You never stopped to think about that, did you? Well, no, my pastor actually teaches a yoga class at our church. Well, your pastor's a fucking faggot. So who cares? See, you're not thinking clearly. You're falling for personality bullshit and fucking you are casting pearls before swine, and then you're jumping in the mud to pick them up because someone told you that that's what makes you a better person than everybody else. You are all like the Pharisee, and you don't want to be like the publican. It's fucking pathetic. If you people on the right think you're better than the people on the left, you're not. You're as insane as they are, but you don't appear insane because you don't wear purple hair. You don't put vaginas on your head.
And you're better rule followers.
Exactly. You follow the evil rules without disruption, while the crazy lefties follow the evil rules with disruption to make them more evil. And you're all being used by the global cryptocracy.
And Fauci are laughing at you, and Chairman Xi nods his head in total agreement. He's going, our plan is working perfectly.
Yeah, and I'm sure that the Chinese would like to be the dominant force, but they know that they're not, and they're not capable of it. But it's a good foil for righties, China. Now even all the Republicans are talking about China. What they don't talk about is CIA, the NSA, the FBI,
no, because it's police, rule of law, police, courts, the same courts that fought Trump and allowed all this election fraud to go through, those courts that all those judges that Trump bragged about putting into office, into power.
All of Mitch McConnell's judges who are mostly pedophiles, those judges, yeah, great fucking job. I mean, at this point, fucking, you know, release the horses. All of them.
You know what's really interesting? Well, yeah.
We got a couple
of
them, right?
I mean,
we got pestilence already. So bring on war. bring on famine. That's coming. You don't think there's going to be a famine? Well, we're America. We have big farms. We're the breadbasket.
There's already famine in countries.
What? No, I'm talking about here. I don't give a fuck about the rest of the
country. Here?
At this point, I have so few fucks left to give that I don't give a fuck about anything that happens outside of these borders. We're going to have a famine here.
You know,
I live here.
Yeah, who
owns all
those?
I don't live in Israel. I don't live in China. I don't live in Iraq.
Wait. Who owns most of the farmland now in America?
Monsanto, China, and Bill Gates.
Yeah, Bill Gates been buying it up quiet on the side. Yeah, cool. There you go.
Look, 15 years ago, Microsoft was hiring more biologists and chemists than IT programmers. Nobody could figure out why. Now you got a fucking pandemic. Do the math. I'm telling you, the stuff that you're about to face was done a long time ago. Nothing can stop it from happening. You can only manage
Trump
the aftermath.
I hate to say this, but Trump was nothing but a speed bump because he wouldn't take his enemy out. That's my opinion. Take it to the bank.
I think you're 100% correct. Now, hopefully there's some plan to take out the enemy that we're not aware of, and that'll be fucking great. But I don't see it.
Sure, a lot of them.
All I see actually is that a couple of different factions in the globalist cryptocracy are fighting for control, and some of them might be wanting to use the Trump movement to get their way over and against their rivals. That's all I see. Because we know that Zhu Baidan and his whore are not running the government. We know that. We know that Pelosi and Schumer aren't either. We know that they're dealing with revenues, but they're not really running the government. We know that some kind of military continuation plan is in place. That's a fact. I mean, if you can't see that, then you're really blind. But that faction does not seem to be in favor of Trump. They seem to be using Trump. And I just hope to God he's not actually willfully cooperating. That's what's happening. Oh, Rex, this is so depressing. I'm just telling you what I see. Do with it what you will.
You know, one question, if I ever have the opportunity to sit down and talk to Trump and go, turn off the bullshit, turn off the politics, I have one question for you. Why in the fuck did you trust these Republicans after decades and decades and decades and decades of proof of who they really are? That's the one question I'd like to hear the answer to, because I speculate on that one.
You know
thinking that he could control them, thinking he could whatever, I don't know.
I think it's pride. He thought that he could get them on his side because he believes in what he's doing, and he couldn't believe that they didn't want to see it that way. He just thought that they were good people with bad ideas who were weak. Good people with bad ideas who were weak, and he could convince them to do otherwise.
Paul Ryan giving up the House should have been the ultimate sign that you're surrounded by the enemy. Because that wasn't even okay, go back a little farther.
Or your daughter renouncing Jesus Christ to fucking become a synagogue dweller. How about that as a clue?
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm talking about election forward.
Oh, Jared was digging that. Look, hey, why is Jason Miller's ghetto called Getter the popular go-to parlor of the day, and Trump isn't on Gab? Because Torba wouldn't let Jared take over Gab. Look at what happened on Rumble. Look at what happened on Rumble, which has been relatively open, when Trump started his channel on Rumble. You say anything even remotely negative about Zionists, Israel, or Jews, and you're censored.
Immediately.
What's up with that? Why can't – if I'm not a racist when I criticize Obama for his communism, why am I an anti-Semite if I criticize a Jew for their communism?
I don't know. It's just different, Rex. It's just different, Rex. Didn't you see the Second World War?
I mean, that was bad. What about the Holodomor? What about the Holodomor?
How about
20 million
about
dead
the,
Ukrainians?
Yeah, and Christians. Oh, yeah, yeah. That don't matter, though. Because we're the problem.
Is there cock
we
circumcised
are the
that doesn't
problem.
Matter?
Hmm?
Because their cocks weren't circumcised, they don't matter? Their death doesn't matter?
No, you didn't get that memo?
Oh, I got the memo. I can spit on it, set it on fire, buried it, dug it up again, and took a shit on it. All lives matter. All lives matter. Isn't that what the right's been saying for 2 years, 3 years? All lives matter. But what they really mean is all lives matter, but elite oligarch Jewish lives matter more. That's what they're saying. That's what your pastor tells you. And if your pastor happens to be Pope Frank, what he tells you is it's okay to worship with Muslims because they believe in the same God. So effectively, you're worshiping a moon rock. Good job, people. Fucking morons.
Oh, now we're going deep. Wow.
Hey, look, it's the reality. If you can give me facts to tell me that I'm wrong, I'm happy to admit it. But I don't see it. All I see is syncretism, New Age bullshit, fucking yoga, worshiping of Israel, having a Bible fetish.
I don't see
a lot of Christian virtue. I don't see a lot of bowing at the name of Jesus Christ. I don't see a lot of implementing what Christ taught us in our day-to-day lives. I don't see a lot of that. And because of that, I'm told I'm intolerant, I'm racist, I'm anti-Semitic, I'm unpatriotic, I'm an extremist. And then they're going to murder a whole bunch of you, and people are going to go, oh, man, turns out they might have been right.
That I just had a flashback. Remember when we did, I don't remember, it was the Weimar Republic show that we did, The Rise of Hitler.
America?
And why America, exactly. And I remember when I was researching for that show, how many good Christian Germans stood there knowing what was coming, but did nothing about it. Same thing, same story, different generation, you know, different time, different place, same thing. You have been cocked, America. You're afraid of getting censored. You're afraid of losing your job. You're afraid of, you know, you might get kicked out of your bank. Your business might be shut down. You're afraid of losing your customers. You're afraid of losing. You see, it's that fear of loss. They have it embedded into you, and they did a really good job of scaring the shit out of everybody. Post 9/11 was step one. Snowden revelations were step two, and then Obama was step three, because anything you said about Obama didn't matter. If it was, you know, like you said, if I say Obama's a communist, then you're going, oh, you're just a racist. You know, they started working you a long time ago to be where you have arrived today. And when that Capitol thing happened, that bullshit false flag, and they set that up, and then they shut down Trump, and then they shut down everybody else. They shut down, you can't say anything about COVID. You can't say anything about the sick perversion of destroying the youth in this country. You can't say anything about anything. You're shut down. You have been censored, but most people censor themselves, Rex. That's the problem.
That's the big problem, because when you censor yourself, it's not only that you're not saying what you should be saying because it's the truth, or even if you're wrong, if you censor yourself, we can't have a debate about what you said, so we can't really flesh out the truth in the error, right? Because you didn't say anything. Your compliance is consent to the lie because you didn't even speak the lie. Now, sometimes you can sincerely speak a lie because you were wrong and you were given wrong information and you spoke it. But if you speak it, then you can actually have an intelligent discussion about it. Maybe you can discover that there was, in fact, a lie and you can get to the truth. But when you self-censor like that, you're actually conditioning your mind. And this isn't guarding your tongue, because it is not what goes into a man's mouth that defiles him, but what comes out. That's the Christian way, right? You self-censor yourself away from blasphemy and untruth. But when you censor yourself against truth, and then you're spewing the lies. When you tolerate blasphemies, but then you come at me because I said fuck you. You know, fuck you isn't a problem. It's not a problem, because sometimes fuck you, you deserve it, right? But turn on the to watch these edited for television movies with all the foul words that we don't want our children's virgin ears to hear. We want them to go to school to learn how racist
and then
they are.
They have open access to the internet. There you go. That really
but
works.
You want, right. Yeah, with all the free porn on there that doesn't have an age restriction. But no, we want them to go to school, right, because you want to have your career and all your nice stuff. We want them to go to school to learn about masturbation in the fifth grade and why their parents are racists. But if I say fuck you, it's a problem. You turn on the television and these movies, like, you know, all the good action movies that we like where there's a lot of cursing and stuff, they edit out all the bad words. So Bruce Willis says, yippee-ki-yay, mother... Right? And if you haven't seen the movie, you don't know what he said. But if you've seen the movie, you know what he said. But they don't edit out any GDs. They keep all the blasphemy in the movies. What's more offensive, telling some cunt to go fuck himself or blaspheming the name of the Lord? Think about that. Ask yourself if you're serious. I know I'm serious because I used to use GD like a comma. And it took me a long time, a lot of prayer and repentance, to exorcise myself from saying that. Well, you should do the same thing with telling people to get their heads out of their ass and telling them to fuck off. Fuck you. People
Why,
are about to be murdered by the millions.
That's freaking perfect. Oh, I came up with that.
So, you know, what I'm saying is that the self-censorship is a problem because you're censoring your mind, and that's how you fall for the lies. That's how you get conditioned to accept the untruth and tolerate the blasphemies. And then you wonder why your country is falling apart. That's why.
Why you wonder why your country has fallen apart.
Yeah, exactly.
You remember post-Trump, or even as we were doing the – you know, when Trump came onto the stage, but even post-Trump, I used to use that analogy of the train has already gone off the cliff. And I talked about that one Jurassic Park 2 or 3, I don't remember which one, they had that kind of big trailer system and the T-Rex came and knocked one half of it off the cliff and it was hanging there and they were trying, one guy was grabbing the rope around. He wrapped a rope around it and was using that, you know, off-road cart vehicle, was trying to keep the rest of the train from falling over while they were trying to crawl out of the big trailer system before it went off the cliff. I always saw that as a perfect picture for where we were at. That was over 4 years ago that I brought that analogy to light. And mm-hmm. The thing about it is I don't, when I look at this stuff or I talk about this stuff, I don't feel like I'm being negative. I feel like I'm being honest, you know,
right.
And you have to look at this stuff in with a clear eyes wide open, sucker, because it's already happened. We're not trying to slow it down from going off the cliff. We're not trying to slow it down from failing. We're not trying to, you know, slow down the destruction of America. It's all, we're not trying to prevent, as Rex says, the new world order. It is a borderless world. It's already happened. It just, a lot of it was in the shadows for a long time. And we were busy fighting our left-right battles, you know, from election to election to election. You know, every 2 years, you get caught up in this left-right paradigm, you know, fighting to vote in the lesser of two criminals, you know, controlled criminals into office. We that's where our heads were at. And, you know, 80s to the 90s, you know, the decadent eras, you know, everybody chasing the American dream, trying to buy bigger and bigger and badder houses and more expensive cars and more expensive vacations and better barbecues and all that keeping up with the Joneses shit, you know, and it, as cool as prosperity is, don't get me wrong, it's nice to have nice shit, right? But it, you have to stop once in a while and ask yourself, am I going too far with this crap? Because all that really matters at the, or should, okay, I can't tell you what should matter for you, but all that really
sure
should matter at the end of the day is God, your family, and that you as an individual are doing what you believe is right every day, that you're checking yourself. And you can't check yourself if you're always in reaction mode, and you can't check yourself if you're allowing these big content creators on Twitter and YouTube control what you think is important that day. That is so key, because that's, you know, we're so busy on the right criticizing the insanity of the people on the left when we do the exact fucking same thing, Rex.
Yep.
That's always been a big issue for me on this show, is be careful who you follow. Be careful what you put in your mind. You know, one thing I learned early on, because I really got into this political stuff and I was catching up, was I had to kind of go into my caveman research mode, and I really engulfed myself into it deeply. You got to check out once in a while and look at yourself and going, why am I doing this, number one? How much time am I spending on this shit, number two? And number three, the people that I'm following, yeah, are they saying all the right things to me just to get me to suck into their bullshit so then they can become a tool to manipulate me come next election cycle? You have to step back and take a deep breath once in a while.
There are no conspiracies, but there are no coincidences. Fuck you, Stephen K. Bannon, and your little Indian sidekick. Still watch War Room, because it's the only place you're going to get any real information. You just have to have a discerning eye. And I'll tell you what, you know, I've been able to, I mean, again, same is true for Alex Jones, right? But I got to tell you, Alex is at least entertaining, and he brings up topics and goes deep on them,
and nobody else
more
will.
Than anybody else.
Yep.
Okay? So, I mean, but frankly, the only stuff I watch other than clips that I see online is War Room Pandemic and InfoWars, because that's the only place I can glean some real information. Now, I don't watch it blindly, okay, because they all have their agendas and they all have their errors, and their foundation is more or less wrong and liberal, which is true for all of us, but they get it more often than not, and that's where you need to focus. If you're watching Fox or Newsmax and OAN outside of their little vignettes, you're getting way more erroneous cuckery than from Bannon and Alex Jones.
You know, it's funny, because I know Newsmax kind of rose up and became more prominent when Trump was censored. And I was thinking years ago when I first found Newsmax and started watching them, I didn't stick with them very long. I'm like going, whatever. You know, it just did not really – I heard some people on there, and I was like going, I don't know, are they just trying to be another Fox News with a little more conservative dialectic in there? I was never impressed with Newsmax.
Oh, nor OAN, really. But, I mean, I still, you know, like their little vignettes. But here's the thing. If it's allowed to grow that big, it's CIA approved. Just keep that in mind, which is why no one listens to our show and no one listens to Butch Robinson, because there we actually say the truth. Make sure you go to Butch Robinson's Rumble channel, Bond Robin. He also has his Bond Robin Worldview series. He has his Bond Robin Digest, which are older videos cut into smaller pieces. And he actually has a new section called Rex Christie and Friends, where he puts up this show and other stuff, which is interesting. He actually pulled a Facebook memory of mine from 7 years ago, which Facebook, they didn't suspend me for this one, but they suspended me on that same day, the day that Trump sued Big Tech, and he put it up on Rumble. So you can actually go there and hear it. It's about a minute long. You should share it and tell everybody to listen to it. I'm going to throw it to you. Believe it or not, we've been doing this for like an hour and a half. So I'm going to throw it to you to close out. But
well,
I'm
that's
leave
a
you
stretch for me. I'm out of shape.
When we have the left-right paradigm that you just talked about, everybody goes back into it, you got to look at the lessons you learned because of what Trump did, the magnificent thing he did, and not forget. Trump exposed the election theft that's been going on for decades because they had to cheat so
too.
Big. He showed you, and that's what I was going to go. He showed you. No, so you're like, we have to elect better people, this, that, and the other. And that's kind of true. You should be working on that. But, of course, if it's a rigged election, what's the point? But what Trump showed you was someone with the best of intentions and the most amazing capability, doing all of the right things to get us you know, in the right direction. And you can't deny the 3 years of Trump's first term were epic. I mean, we had gangbuster economy, low inflation, we were ending the wars. I mean, everything was fucking great, except for all the pushback he was getting. But what it proved to you, is that your schoolhouse rock civics class of how your government operates is complete and utter bullshit. The president, even the White House, is not in charge of the executive branch. Its representatives are not in charge of Congress, and your judiciary is corrupt as fuck. And that's also at your state and local level. And your police forces are infested by Freemasons who have their own ranking system that's outside of the ranking system of the police. That's also true for the FBI. Sean Hannity's vaunted rank and file. Well, one of these rank and file was just convicted in Florida of raping a 14-year-old girl. So fuck the FBI, fuck the police, fuck the politicians, fuck everybody. Do not comply. On that note, enjoy closing.
How do I beat that? I mean, that was perfect close. yeah, interesting times we live in. I wonder how many people through the last few years, even during Trump reign, where I said it's going to get worse before it gets better. How many people go, oh, you're so fucking negative. Yeah, well, who's your daddy now?
Yeah, we get accused of being negative as much as we get accused of being Trump cheerleaders. Fuck you.
Yeah. So here's the thing, think about. I don't know what's going to happen in November. On first guess, I assume Republicans will take back power, maybe slightly. Whatever happens, happens. You know, we don't control who counts the votes, you know, like Stalin said. And obviously we know there's a lot of corruption involved. They're on both sides, by the way, people, on both sides. Don't kid yourself. The Republican Party didn't want this shit exposed, this election fraud shit exposed any more than the left did, because they both use it in different precincts around the country. Do not kid yourself. We were studying this shit 8-9 years ago. Bev Harris and all that crap. A lot of that shit was going on with the Republicans. You know, it's how they stayed in power or took back power in different precincts. So that's number one. Number two, so let's assume the Republicans get back in power. Here's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for what the fuck they do, not what they say. What will they do? You know, who gets back in power? Where the power system, you know, levels out to? You know, McCarthy? Are you fucking kidding me? The fact that he is still, you know, number one man, minority leader on the Republican side in the House, are you kidding me? You know, there are things going on that you should be rebelling against as a Republican voter. You know, it's as simple as if a couple million people stood up and all wrote an email going, if you keep McCarthy in that position, I'm setting out, damn Democrats going to win my district, so fuck you. Fix this shit, Republicans. You know, you people always ask, what could I do? Oh, God, we should vote and let the Democrats win. I don't know. McCarthy is made Speaker of the House. The Democrats won. So what the hell did we do? We were the ones that got criticism when we had control of the House. And then McConnell, you know, they pushed through the whole election cycle. We need control of the Senate to stop Obama. We need control of the Senate. We need control. That was the whole mantra, the whole foundation of philosophy to get Republicans out and voting. And that day, that Sunday, we did a show and said, watch, as soon as they get control of the Senate, they will tell you why they still can't do anything. And the next day, McConnell goes, we won, but we can't do anything until we get the White House. The next day, while people were still posting negative about what we said. Remember that? I do. I totally remember that.
Because I, why? Because I know Republicans. Here's the funny thing about this. They're not that complex. You know? And so, I mean, I experienced the rise of the Tea Party and the crushing of the Tea Party after they took back, what was it, record 60-some seats, you know? And then they just did everything they could to destroy Palin and all the voices around that era. And Bannon was back there and all the rest of them, right? But they are not that difficult to figure out. And here's the problem. Neither are you. That's the problem. You're not that difficult to figure out. They figured exactly as I predicted and would do. It's the same thing they did post-Tea Party, and that is immediately they'll get you focused on, well, we got to win back the House and Senate. And then if we win one of them and barely keep the other or lose the other one, who knows? We've seen how crooked. I mean, I tell you what, we do better in the House seats. The Senate just seems like no matter how hard we vote and try to expose the corruption, doesn't matter. We just can't seem to make much headway on that damn Senate. And that's only 100 people and only, what, third of them every 2 years. And so it really boils down to what will you tolerate and why are you tolerating it when they do it to you every freaking time, every election cycle? What is Romney's niece? What the frick is she still doing in there? What is McCarthy doing in there? You know? I mean, I don't know what McConnell's going to do. Off the top of my head, I'm sorry, I can't remember how many years he's got left, but Trump helped him get reelected. God, you know, so it really boils down because this is a party system game. And so you go, well, what should I do? Not vote? I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that if your vote is as important as you claim it is, then you need to leverage it against the people who are really screwing you. That's your own damn party. And until you get that through your head, nothing will change. And it'll cycle through and the Republicans will gain back power and then they'll piss it away because what's so typical with Republicans through decades and decades and decades, and Newt Gingrich talked about this when he got the Republican majority back in his era, and then they destroyed him and ran him off out of Speaker of the House, was they don't like being in power because it doesn't pay as good. It's a lot of harder work. And you can do just as good in your career as a fucking crooked politician being on the back bench. And it really makes it a lot easier to piss and moan and point fingers at your opponents than it is to stand up and have to prove something for yourself. And that is so typical of Republicans. That's number one. Number two, and this is my close. The Democrats are smart. And they're smarter than the Republicans. They understand the social trends. They understand the strengths and weaknesses and the lack of intelligence and the corruption of the average American and the selfishness and self-centered lack of discipline and apathy of the average American. They are better at manipulating that than the Republicans are. And here's the thing that Democrats do, Republicans don't. Republicans will find a champion that rises up and good part of the time some of these people have risen up on their own merit and then they will champion behind that person. The Democrats who control the media, control the entertainment industry, control the movies, control all that shit, all the fakery, you know, the Kardashian world, they go out and they go, we need to win this seat. And then they will go interview people and find the right character to fit that role. Example, AOC. She was a fucking bartender. They interviewed people and said she's got the right look. She's got the right body shape. She's got the right race. She can articulate some shit, even though half of it's bullshit. She can still spew it out and look you right in the eye and not blink. They interviewed her and gave her that position because she fit a role. Democrats are masters at this shit because they control entertainment and movie industry. They actually fill roles. Republicans look for champions. And then if a champion gets knocked off or is found to be corrupt or, you know, a kiddie raper or, you know, financially corrupt or whatever the case may be, then the hero gets destroyed and it weakens the strength of the party. That's another thing Republicans are weak at. Democrats never burn the bridge out from under anybody that they put in power, no matter how bad they get attacked and exposed. They always defend their own. Called loyalty. As corrupt as that is, folks, I hate to tell you, it's really powerful because they should not have the power they have. They're really sick, terrible. They're terrible at governing. They're sick people. They're corrupt as hell, you know, and their ideas suck. And they have to use the court system to push through, you know, lawsuits to finally get the Supreme Court to give them a something they could never get passed in Congress because their ideas suck. But they still get their agenda through over and over and over. And this country, ratchet left, ratchet left. If anybody, I don't know, have any of you ever held a tool in your life? You know, ratchet, if you turn it, you flip the little switch, you turn it to the right, it torques, or you turn it to the left, it torques the bolt down, turn to the right, it loses the bolt. Well, ratchet left. We never go back to the right. We only, like Rex said, which I think, I remember the first time I heard it, I was, you know, I questioned it. You know, I'm like, I don't know, is he right about that? The Democrats push their agenda through, and then conservatives conserve the errors of the left. That was wisdom beyond all truth. And so where this is going from here, I don't know. Well, you know, we're observers in this game. I'm not in political power. I'm not there. You wouldn't want me there. I'd probably do something stupid. You know what I mean? But you know, we can talk. We need to do a show. We can give me an update. We can talk about what we see going on. We can tell you what we think is bullshit. We can tell you what to look out for. We can tell you, you know, I'm not going to tell you what to do because you got to figure that out for yourself because I'm not looking for followers. You know, most people can't keep up with me anyway. I'm not looking for followers. That's not my game. You know, I'm information, education, and how do you fight to win? How do you mentally fight if your life depends on it, like in the street, and your family, you have a home invasion and into your home? What are you going to do, man, to protect your family? Will you die to protect your family? Because your country is your family. And if we don't get this shit right, it's going to get pretty ugly. Not that it isn't already ugly, but it's going to get uglier. And it'd be in your nice little neighborhood that you've been able to live in and work yourself up to, that kind of, you see the shit on the TV, or if you're on a road trip and you drive through a city or whatever, you see that ugliness, or you see, like I said, you see it on TV or the internet, and you're like, oh, God, that's so terrible. But you live in your nice little safe neighborhood. Well, that is going to go away. And if anything, the street munchkins proved, you know, brown shirts during this whole, you know, burning America down, was that it no longer exists just in the big city. It's everywhere. It's in your neighborhood. And you know what's funny? Just like Occupy back way back when, what did I say? You know, when it went away, I go, it didn't go away. Obama's little army, they just were testing the ground. They're testing their organization, their communication, their ability to recruit people. They're testing the legal system. They were testing the local laws. They were testing the politicians and the police to find out what they could get away with. And they had their lawyers all there, and they had their media all there with them. And they basically, that was the warm-up. And then Occupy, reemerged, BLM, all that bullshit. It's all the same system, folks. And all of a sudden, it's kind of like, where'd it go? It's building for the next round. Republicans win? Watch what happens.
I only have one rule. Everyone fights, no one quits. If you don't do your job, I'll shoot you.
your duty. That's what Robert E. Lee said. Of course, the statue was taken down in Charlottesville. And anybody that doesn't know what's going on January 6th is a fucking moron, because Charlottesville was the model. Charlottesville was the model for January 6th. Go to revolver.news. Aaron Beatty has been writing up really good stuff on the false flag FBI informants involved in the three percenters. What's his name? That FBI informant, Enrique Dario, of the Proud Boys, and I forget the guy's name, but the three percenters guy. Right? It's all a setup. If you didn't see it coming, you're an idiot. If Trump didn't see it coming, he's not who I thought he was. Nevertheless, I still think that thing was supposed to be much bigger than it turned out to be. So somebody did something to tamp it down, and that gives me hope that something is going on behind the scenes. But January 6th is the 9/11 false flag to bring on the Extremist Patriot Act against regular Americans. Garland in that opening clip. It's happening. So be smart. They are coming to your door. Be smart. But here's the thing. What you really have to understand is that Republicans suck donkey dick. They do. Republicans treat you, patriotic conservative voters, the way the Democrats treat blacks. They gin up racism, they tell you they're going to take care of you, they show you all the problems that the black local leadership in all of these cities and states has ruined in black neighborhoods. They get 98% compliance from blacks, and then they turn around and shit on them. If you don't believe me, go listen to Judge Joe Brown tell you who Biden is, who Kamala is. The only black Kamala has ever had in her is Willie Brown. She's not a woman of color. She's a Brahmin Tamil Indian pretending to be a sister for power. And she's probably the only person that people hate even more than Hillary, although I don't think she's killed as many people. Although she's put a lot of black men in prison for minor drug crimes while she was fucking her way and blowing her way to the top. In fact, I think the first time in her life that she said don't come was when she was in Guatemala, where the Guatemalans told her to go away. Biden, that dude is fucking KKK all the way, baby. Everything they accuse Trump of, Biden's that racist. It's true. He called, Joe Brown says he was there, witnessed an eyewitness account from Judge Joe Brown. Biden called black people cockroaches. Biden's crime bills, not just the one they talk about, the 94 crime bill, but all the way back to the 70s, has incarcerated more black people in private prisons than there were ever slaves on plantations in the Democratic plantations of the South. The reason I say Democratic plantations
of
the South.
It was a plan.
Yeah. The oligarch, upper-class, Southern gentry-owning plantations were racist slave owners. Most of the yeoman farmers, who may have had a Negro or two as slaves, actually worked alongside their slaves. They didn't set up the system. They were as much victims of it as they are today. But Republicans treat you the way Democrats treat black voters. They gin them up. They get their votes. They pad the votes. They get in there. And then they turn around and fuck them. And their own leadership in cities like Baltimore and Detroit and Chicago fucks them even worse. Look at this fucking Beetlejuice lesbian dyke in fucking Chicago. What a fucking worthless evil cunt she is. She's responsible for killing more black people than any of you who are called racists all the time have ever done. Sick. But that's how Republicans treat you. They will talk about MAGA. They'll talk about America First. They'll talk about election integrity. They'll talk about the border. They'll talk about China. They'll do all that stuff and then turn around and give you progressive, communist, CIA, City of London, Klaus Schwab policies. That's how it's done. And then they'll give you bullshit like, well, you know, Facebook and Google and Twitter are private companies, so build your own platform. Because, you know, if we use the government for that, they could turn around and use it, blah, blah, blah. Bullshit. It's fucking bullshit. All of those companies, private companies, are CIA companies. It's all part and parcel. The Wall Street banks and the Wall Street attorneys, all coming out of Yale Skull and Bones, set this thing up in partnership with their Atlanticist allies in the city of London. Read, well, it's a difficult read, but The Anglo-American Empire by Carol Quigley. And he's so fucking annoying. He puts his footnotes in the text so you have to read. It's a whole mess, right? It's a difficult read. You should read it if you have the comprehension skills and the patience. If not, make sure you check out Jay Dyer and Von Robin talking about the Atlanticist Alliance. Actually, Alex Jones had a pretty good video when he was up in New York. He showed you the Pratt House, the Chatham House, the CFR, the UN, and it had a lot of good clips in there, so you should check that out. But that's how this scheme is set up. And the canary in the coal mine, those who were deplatformed first should have told you something. Didn't do anything about it. Trump didn't do anything about it. Jared is a fucking cunt, right? Milo, deplatformed because he made fun of a fucking worthless, allegedly comedic actress who looks like a fucking baboon. He was right. And you know, oh, Milo's part of that, you know, sodomitic infiltration into the right. Well, you know what? Milo admits that. He says that he feels responsible for that. You know, Milo, oh, maybe he's sincere, maybe he's not. I don't fucking know, but he seems sincere. Milo says that he's a reformed faggot as of over a year ago. And he's doing a show now on True News with the True News crew and Lauren Whitkey, and he doesn't let up on this stuff. But they deplatformed him. They deplatformed Alex Jones. That's a pretty big deal. Alex has been right about a lot of stuff. Now, Alex has also got his own shady Bill Hicks connections and all that stuff, but nevertheless, deplatforming him was a huge problem. They can get away with it. They did. Nick Fuentes finally kicked off Twitter. By the way, I'm not on Facebook because I said something that offended that fucking cunt Zuckerberg, which, again, I'm trying to get my account shut down. I'm just going to go on there and keep truth-bombing Facebook until they ban me permanently. I'm banned more than I'm ever on there. Make sure you follow me on Gab, Rex_Christie. If you're not following me on Gab, if you're not on Gab, you're worthless. I have a ghetto account, right? But I was just checking it out. I'm not really using it because I don't fucking trust Jason Miller. I think he's a snake. I don't trust Boris Epstein, right, or any of the other members of the tribe, really. Follow me on Gab, follow Trog on Gab, follow Bond Robin on Gab, get on Gab. But deplatforming them is a big deal. And, you know, Fuentes, you get stuff from the righties, from the Dinesh D'Souza's and the Turning Points Cuck USA crowd and all of them who basically say, Nick Fuentes is a horrible person. He is an evil racist, but we should have all voices heard, right? So that's how they massage it. What's so horrible about Nick Fuentes? I actually like Nick Fuentes. I listen to Nick Fuentes' stuff. I guess that makes me a white supremacist also, right? I think he's funny. I think he's intelligent. Kid's like 23, 24 years old. He can't fly in an airplane. He's being investigated for January 6th, and he was nowhere near the Capitol. He was in D.C., but he was nowhere near the Capitol. He's been demonetized, deplatformed, and banned from all social media and has to have his own streaming channel for his show, which I think he does at 9 p.m. on weekdays, AmericaFirst.live. And of all of those, right, of Milo and Alex and Nick, right, why did I pick those three? Because there are others, but why those three? Because Alex, I didn't know this until recently, Alex is actually younger than me. Barely, not even quite a year, but younger than me. And I thought that was weird as fuck because he looks horrible. I thought he was much older. But Alex is an Xer. Milo's a millennial. Fuentes is a Zoomer. And of those three people, the one I'm most concerned about, Nick Fuentes. And all of you should be too. The Groypers, like Nick Fuentes, those are the future. Those are the people that are going to have to fix this fucking mess we've allowed to happen. You have to start thinking generationally. That's how the enemy has done this to us, gradually and generationally, over centuries. And the progression of it increases. The gradualism picks up pace. Nick Fuentes' generation are the elders of the future restoration, if there is one. God, I hope he has mercy on us and gives us one. But Nick Fuentes' generation are the future elders of a restoration. You got to learn to accept these things. You got to protect kids like Fuentes, because they're the ones who are going to influence the next generation, and it's going to take us a long time to get out of this mess. We have to start fixing the problem. Now, the Zoomers are all sorts of fucked up. They're more fucked up than millennials and more fucked up than Xers, because that's how this shit flows downstream. You think that the boomers of the 60s are the root of the problem. It goes back further than that. Look, they had a sexual revolution in Berlin. We were talking Weimar America. That was and Paris. That was back in the 19th century. The first thing that the Bolsheviks did was a fucking sexual revolution in the 20s.
Remember the Roaring 20s.
Right? I'm telling you, people, now the big one here, and then it spread across the world in a reverberating way, was, you know, 60s, Summer of Love, Yoga, Bhagwan, blah, 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 and the Beatles and all that shit, okay? But we've arrived. Perversity is now celebrated. And it's not about freedom. Look, two guys want to bang each other in the ass, or two chicks want to fucking munch rug in the privacy of their own home where none of us see it, and they're adults. No one fucking cares. It's none of our business. I mean, there's the general business that it's a sin and it's bad for them and, you know, could damn them, their souls. But it's none of our practical business. But when they're parading it in the street and they're shoving your face and they're teaching it to your kids in school in order to twist them sexually, to drag their souls to hell and to destroy that integral building block of civilization, the natural human family as ordained by God, they are causing societal damage and leading to genocide. Those are facts. They're irrefutable. That's what's happening. And so this has to be fixed, and the Zoomers are the elder generation of the restoration. So you have to protect them. You have to give them your wisdom. You have to let them learn from your errors, but you have to have the balls to admit your own errors. So after this wonderful happy-go-lucky show that Trog and I have done, I don't think we've done a show together for over a month. You got a couple of Rex solos, but I think it's much more interesting when we have a conversation. The takeaway is the situation is pretty fucked up, and it's pretty bad, and left-right electoral politics isn't going to fucking save you. Until 2020 is adjudicated and corrected, voting is nothing more than electoral masturbation. You should be hammering everybody you can, from media personalities to Republicans to elected officials to judges. You should be hammering everybody about actual, real, verifiable election integrity, and that does involve adjudicating the 2020 election, which everybody with more than two fucking brain cells to rub together knows was stolen. The whole fucking world knows it was stolen. If we let it go under the bridge and say better luck next time, it will never, ever matter again. It's that important. Trump won. Trump won bigly. Fix it. That's what we should be focused on. I'm being told that he gave a pretty good punch to the RNC during his RNC speech. I will check it out tomorrow. I really hope that's true, but I'm not too optimistic about it. But this election needs to be fixed. I'm hoping this thing with Mike Lindell in the middle of August is a big deal. I'm hoping that the Pennsylvania audits go through, because that one will flip everybody out. Pennsylvania and Georgia are both, you know, 1,000 times worse than Arizona, and Arizona is pretty fucking bad. And I'm pretty sure that Trump won Virginia. He won Minnesota. I think he won New York and California, to tell you the truth. So we need to get to the bottom of that. We need to know what happened there. Not 50 years from now. We need to know now. We need to know before the next election. We need to take measures before the next election to make the next election have integrity. And then you need to punch the fuck out of those Republicans and teach them a lesson for being worthless. Republicans suck donkey dick. Republicans are a bigger problem for you than the Democrats. The electoral politics are not going to save you. What's going to save you is doing the right things and fixing your culture. And right now, with all that's going on, the genocide, with the hunting down of, quote, extremists, with the vaccine problems that are going to keep getting worse, with the fact that they're going to try to inject you again, the fact that they're going to try to make these things mandatory. Remember, this is emergency use that limits how far they can take it. So they're trying to psychologically brainwash you into doing these things to yourself because you can't get on an airplane, you can't go to a restaurant, you can't go to school, blah, 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 blah. So they're trying to get the private sector and the media to convince you to poison yourself. If the FDA – now, remember something. Emergency use authorization is because, you know, the pandemic is so bad. A fucking global pandemic that has killed less than 0.0004% of the population. Look at the numbers for Y. pestis, the bubonic plague that came out of China that was weaponized and delivered to the West, to Europe, by Mongolians coming as a scorched earth destruction all the way across Asia into Europe. Those numbers wiped out a third of Europe's population. This phenomenal, great, scary pandemic that requires extreme experimental drugs killed 0.0004% of the population of the world. But it was a global pandemic, right? Because that danger is nonsense, they had to fabricate something. Now, if you have something that could work other than the experimental drugs, you won't get an emergency use authorization, which is why ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin, and all the treatments that good doctors devised were scrubbed from the information, were ridiculed, were told officially by men in white coats that those things are dangerous and cause harm. And Trump tried to speak through that, but let's remember his term ended in March of 2020, and they ran roughshod over him and us. If they get authorization, not emergency use authorization, but they approve these drugs, then they can make them mandatory and boost you with this shit every 6 months and put it in your kids and sterilize the next three generations. That's what they are doing. And you need to resist. You cannot comply with this. Right now, you have to accept the fact that you're far less powerful than you thought you were. It's actually a good thing because it'll make you realize how hard the work you have to do ahead of you is. And although it hasn't done as much as it should disabuse you of the bullshit dialectical games that they play with you. It is far better to go forward understanding that there are hardly any you can trust on, quote, your side, and test them all. I don't trust any of them, including Trump. But you have to fight together, and you have to test everybody for their veracity constantly. And it's going to be hard. But when you don't have the power you thought you did, don't fool yourself into thinking pushing a button on an iPad and the next election is going to fix it. Even if you get Trump reelected, that doesn't necessarily fix it. Look at what they did to him last time. You have to realize that the problems are much bigger, much more difficult to overcome, and then you fight. You fight. You don't comply. You resist. You do not accept what they're doing. You don't let them do it to you with the consent of your will. Whatever they're going to do to you, make them earn it by resisting them every step of the way, sabotaging them if you have to. And you fight. That's the true American spirit. We fight when the odds are against us. That's the true Christian spirit. Look at Rocky Balboa. You know, Ivan Drago said he's not human, he's like a piece of iron, because this superior human specimen was beating the shit out of this rambunctious American-Italian stallion, and he kept on coming back. But in that first Rocky movie, remember something, Apollo Creed won that fight. Rocky lost, but he never stopped fighting. Look at The Last Samurai. Why are you talking about movies again, Rex? Because movies are more influential on the way you think than anything else. Understand this. We need more people with telling the truth through the medium of the arts. You've seeded that ground to agitprop communists, all set up by the CIA and the intelligence community. The Last Samurai. There's a scene where Tom Cruise is at the samurai camp, right? He's a U.S. soldier, right? This is back in the, I think, 18th century. And 19th century. And he, he's getting his ass kicked. They keep whacking him in the head. He keeps falling down. He keeps getting back up. They hit him again. He keeps getting back up. He got up every time and then won their respect, and then they trained him to be a samurai like them. And then they went into battle, and Cruise told them the story of the Greeks at Thermopylae, and the samurai chief, head, whatever the fuck, the head samurai, said that is a good death. And then they went into battle, and Tom Cruise was severely injured, and all of the fucking samurai were slaughtered. But they fought valiantly every step of the way. That's the spirit that's needed. Resist them every step of the way. And I hate to tell you this, but a lot of you are going to die. I mean, you're all going to die, but a lot of you are going to die in this fight because this is a genocide. It's not a possible genocide. It's not an emerging genocide. It is a currently occurring genocide. It's a slow genocide. It's a soft kill for the most part, but a lot of people are going to die. Remember something. Eventually, we all die, and we come before our Lord. Remember when I told you that no one's coming to save you because he already came and he's still here? Well, if he's coming back, he ain't coming back to save. He's coming back as the just judge, and it ain't going to be pretty. But you're probably going to see him before he comes back, and you will be judged. You'll have to give account for what you've done. Have you worked actively to get healed and get sane now, here, before you go before our Lord Jesus? Well, I'm not a Christian. Well, you really need to think about if that's a good idea, because I'm telling you, it ain't. I've been there. Now, I'm not telling you these things like I'm better at this than you, or I'm holier than you, or I'm more Christian than you. I need to sometimes say this stuff after doing the show, which, let's face it, this show is very, very, very dangerous for my spiritual health. But I got to tell you the truth. Okay? That's why we do this. We do it every week? No, there's not that much to fucking do every week, but we'll do it as often as possible. Hopefully things will start to happen soon that are worth talking about. But I tell you this stuff as much because I need to hear it. We all need to hear it. We need to get healed. We need to get sane. Our nutsacks must drop, and we must go into battle valiantly. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. When Israel walked on foot in the deep as on dry land, on seeing their pursuer Pharaoh drowned, they cried, "Let us sing to God a song of victory. Have mercy on me, O God, have mercy on me. Now I, a burdened sinner, have approached thee, my Lord and God, but I dare not raise mine eyes to heaven. I only pray, saying, give me, O Lord, understanding, that I may weep bitterly over my deeds. Have mercy on me, O God, have mercy. O woe is me, a sinner. Wretched am I above all men. There is no repentance in me. Give me, O Lord, tears, that I may weep bitterly over my deeds. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Foolish, wretched man, thou art wasting thy time in idleness. Think of thy life and turn to the Lord God and weep bitterly over thy deeds, both now and forever and unto ages of ages. Amen. O most pure Mother of God, look upon me a sinner and deliver me from the snares of the devil and guide me to the way of repentance that I may weep bitterly over my deeds. Amen. 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 In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the Bible, in I think Matthew's Gospel, it says, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The repentance comes before the good news. All done things we need to repent of, some of us more than others. I mean, I think I might have mentioned a couple of them on the show. Okay, I've got a lot to repent of. And for the most part, I'm an insincere Christian. I am a mercenary Christian, but I want to do better. Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And so are you. And as a nation, we have committed vile, sinful deeds. Sins for which God wiped out two cities in Israel. He flooded the whole world. And we're spreading them all over the planet. Like I said before, if by the millions you can slaughter the most innocent before they're born in the place where they should be the safest, tear them apart limb from limb and stick a skewer in their skull and sell their body parts for profit, you can't do anything right. That is an intolerable, goddamnable evil that we have enshrined under the color of law. And we debate about when and what month it is okay to murder a baby. Republicans are aghast that Republicans want to murder babies up until and even after they are born, like the governor of Virginia. But, you know, 16 weeks, that's okay. Or in cases of rape and incest or danger to the life of the mother, that's okay. So we, you know, once you give an inch to evil, you have no leg to stand on when you complain that somebody else has taken it too far. The life of the mother is endangered most when they are forced to get abortions. And yes, forced to get abortions. It's not a choice. It's not a choice. Just like they're usually forced by men, first of all. And second of all, even if they think it's their choice, it's because they don't like me talking about that stuff. Isn't that interesting? We have to fix this. We have to protect those future generations, not murder them. The Zoomer generation, the generation of Nicholas Fuentes, that's the generation that is more fucked up than any other generation in American history. That's the 15th generation. They are more fucked up than any other generation. But unlike millennials and boomers, who are fucking sheep, for them, again, if you're a boomer or a millennial, don't freak the fuck out, okay? I'm talking in the aggregate. Zoomers are rambunctious, and we need to channel that to question the status quo, to question the New World Order, to get them on the right track, because the Zoomers, those who are in their 20s today, are the elders of the generation of restoration. And it is up to those of us who are their older brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers to guide them, to help them learn from the errors that we've made by acknowledging the mistakes that we have made and the evil that we have done to allow us to get to this point, to turn this thing around. It's not a political thing, cultural thing that involves politics. But you have to make sure that your mind is clear, that you have discernment, ask the Holy Spirit to help you and enlighten you and bathe you in uncreated light so that you can fight this fight by not giving consent to their evil, by not complying with their evil, by calling out what they have done. because complying with it passively or actively is consent to evil. If we consent to evil, not only can we not be saved, but we will be responsible for the destruction of this land. But if we pray hard and we act smart and we are brave and we fight like Rocky Balboa, like the Last Samurai, like the great Spartans at Thermopylae, like the founding fathers and our second founding fathers on both sides of the conflict where we paid for the sin of human chattel slavery in that great war between the states, we can turn this around. It ain't going to be quick. It ain't going to be easy. It's going to be messy, but that's the American way. Fight harder. Hope for the best. Expect the worst. And we will win, and we will win, and we will win. Thanks for doing a show with me, Trog. I missed having you here. I think the audience did too. We'll be back as soon as we can when there's something worth talking about. God bless you all. This is Rex and Trog signing off.
Let me add one more thing to that Last Samurai analogy that you did that's very important. Remember when he went to the emperor after the emperor figured out that he was surrounded by criminals and traitors? Huh. Maybe Trump should watch that
deep
movie.
Deep state.
When he walked up to meet the emperor said, "Tell me how he died." And what did Tom Cruise say? "No, let me tell you how he lived." May the thunder of liberty rumble on.
What other countries are doing to us, China, everyone. They're killing us on trade. If I'm elected president, we will win, and we will win, and we will win. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Mr. Trump, thank you.